It's time for Middletown Blue Raider football on WMSS. Today's game is brought to you in part by Fager Finkenbinder Funeral Home and Crematory, Michelle's Creations with you in mind, Middletown Pharmacy, Olmsted Plaza Barbershop, JD's Junction, Gingrich Memorials, the Middletown Home, with kids in mind, J&J Pizzeria, DHL, Tim Clouser Remax Realty Select, Brownstone Cafe, Jack's Auto Sales, C&E Lawn Care and Landscaping, the Black Horse Tavern, S&H Screen Printing and Awards, and the Hetrick Center. Now let's take it out to the game with the WMSS Sports Crew.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Middletown's War Memorial Field for the beginning of the District 3 football playoffs here tonight as the undefeated Middletown Blue Raiders take on the fourth-seeded Littlestown Thunderbolts, who come in at 8-2 on the season, and they will be a heavy underdog here tonight to this Middletown team, which has certainly done a lot of good things for this community. A great crowd out here tonight to support this team here in a home playoff football game. The first home playoff football game I think Middletown has had since 2009, if I remember correctly.
Well, they have certainly awakened the community, Steve. Yep. Week after week, more and more people were catching on or listening to the broadcast and saying, I'm going to make it out to a game one of these days. And week, after winning more and bigger and better and badder every time, just beating up on people, finally folks were realizing at homecoming, it's time to stay on the bus and enjoy this run. And you and I have mentioned that, you know, Middletown's ranked very highly in several different polls throughout the state in AAA. And this is a team now that's beginning that journey in the playoffs. The furthest team that's ever gone through the playoffs was 1988. Of course, Middletown didn't start getting into playoffs until 1984. And when finally the District 3 and the PIAA realized, why don't we have playoffs? You know, everything ended at the regular season with football. There were no playoffs, and finally they did, and it's unfair to try to classify those teams prior to the 80s, back in the yawn era, and prior to that, the Ray Ryder teams, to say how good they would have been had there been playoffs, but we know for a fact the 88 team has gone the furthest, and that was losing in the Eastern Championship to Berwick back in 1988. We see a path here for this team that can certainly take them all the way to the state championship.
Yeah, and nothing to say bad about the 86 team either, but that is a team that won the district championship, but there were no state playoffs.
Very unfair.
Until 1988.
Would have loved to have seen what those Dennis Etsy teams would have done back then. But this is a Littlestown team, small community, very small like Middletown. In fact, Middletown scrimmaged them for many years here. In the 2000s, and we would see them usually week one or week two as a scrimmage up here, or regretfully all the way down there. Littlestown's all the way down near the Maryland line. It's a travel. It's a haul, and those folks from Littlestown have made their way up here. They love their football. They've been very successful for many years on that single and double A level in high school football, and I know that they bring some good guns up here. Do they have the same as Middletown? I've watched them on film. Frankly, I don't think so. I think it's a good team, complementary to what we saw with Camp Hill. That style of team, that style of play and athleticism. And we know that Camp Hill was no match for Middletown either. And frankly, I don't think this is going to be much of a match tonight either. They'll try to prove me wrong, but I think this will be another dominating performance by Middletown.
True. That is why they play the games again. Middletown, undefeated teams in the playoffs, are 0-3. And when you go through the course of history, 1989, Middletown was a heavy favorite to beat E-Town over at Hershey Park Stadium. That did not happen. I would say Manheim Central was a favorite in 1999 to beat Middletown, which it was a close game.
Yeah.
And then Middletown was favored to beat Conestoga Valley in 2000. And that didn't happen either. So you gotta win it on the field, and they'll look to do that here this evening. We'll take time out when we come back. Our Brian Kaiser will talk to Brett Myers, the head coach of the Middletown Blue Raiders. Again, it is Middletown and Littlestown District 3 AAA semifinals continue after this on the Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home Blue Raider Sports Network.
Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home and Crematory is a Middletown resident-owned funeral home. Melvin Fager Jr. and Travis Finkenbeiner, along with Supervisor Bethany Moley, are using technology to better serve you and your family during a time of bereavement. They can also assist with pre-planning to protect your family from unnecessary burdens. Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home and Crematory. Keeping it local, respectful, and affordable. Fager Finkenbeiner, not just another funeral home.
Michelle's Creations with You in Mind is getting ready to celebrate 20 years in the community. Michelle's Creations with You in Mind can handle your fall and homecoming floral needs with corsages and boutonnieres available. And Christmas flowers are just around the corner. Michelle's Creations with You in Mind is here to help your floral needs for all occasions of life. Located on Dock Street in Upper Royalton, they're open Monday through Friday from 9 to 5, Saturdays 9 to 3. Their number is 944-5425.
Middletown Pharmacy and Gift Shop is located at the Midtown Plaza, and they're a Hallmark Gold Crown store. They have 4,800 square feet of carts, collectibles, Yankee candles and gifts, and their pharmacy with people you know and trust, like Brian, Nate, or Deb. Open Monday through Friday, 9 to 8, Saturdays, 9 to 5. That's the Middletown Pharmacy and Gift Shop. Proud Blue Raider sponsors.
The Olmsted Plaza Barbershop and owner Doug Hoover have been cutting the hair of area residents for over 54 years. Most of the old plaza has been torn down, but the Olmsted Plaza Barbershop is still standing. Open Monday through Thursday, 8 a.m. to 6:30 p.m., Friday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. That's the Olmsted Plaza Barbershop, proud Blue Raider sponsor.
JD's Junction is a proud Middletown Blue Raider sponsor. JD's Junction, located on Mill Street across from the train station, Joe and his staff is serving up lunch and dinner daily, made fresh, like sandwiches, soups, steaks, and seafood. You can also dine outside on their patio. Monday night is trivia night. Wednesday night is all-you-can-eat wing night. Takeout is available at 616-8952. That's JD's Junction in Middletown.
Brian Kaiser back on the pregame show alongside of Middletown head football coach Brett Myers. Coach, let's look back at the regular season quickly. A very successful season, obviously, with an undefeated record. What was the point in the regular season that you felt that this could be a special year for this team?
Most people wouldn't think this is the case, but Paul Meyer probably, the way we didn't play well, and our kids still found a way to come out with a win. You look back at it and you see some of the difficulties we had and some of the adversity, and they still managed to pull together and win ugly. You know, that was probably the first sign that showed us that this is a special group.
When you look at most of the results this season, I think one of the most impressive things from an outsider's perspective would be the fact that this team almost always comes out and takes care of business immediately and jumps up on teams. And where a lot of teams will sometimes struggle, this team seems to almost always get off to a fast start. What do you attribute that to?
Some of it is our practice style. You know, going into the end of the week, we try to simulate how we're going to start the game with certain types of plays or certain types of defensive schemes to make sure our kids are pretty comfortable going in. The other part is that they're an aggressive group, and they just want to go and they want to play. So, you know, pregame wise, it's really something we got to try to calm them a little bit. So then when it's time to go, they're peaking, but they really, really want to go, and they want to go quick.
Let's talk about your defensive side of the ball, because they have been rock solid, and maybe the anchor of that defense and maybe the quarterback of that defense is Hunter Landis. What is it about Hunter that really makes him a catalyst on that defensive side?
His work ethic. You know, he spends a lot of time asking a lot of questions with Coach Souders and Coach Ortiz. He watches a lot of film, studies the game plan, and he's really become a student of the game. You know, so you add that to his work ethic and the idea that he really, really enjoys being a Middletown linebacker and the pressure that comes along with that. But with that being said, you got to mention the four guys in front of him, you know, one being his brother and Griffin and Bobby and Tristan, who eat up blocks that keep him free a lot. to allow him to run sideline to sideline.
Now, you brought up the preparation that he does, but that's true about the entire team. Let's go back to when you played, because in those dark ages of football, you didn't have the access to film that these kids do now. How different is that, and how much of an advantage is that when you have a team that's motivated the way that this team is?
Without a doubt, you know, 20-some-odd years ago, we watched film with our coaches, and you'd watch about 15 minutes a day, and that would be the end of it. So we watch the same amount of film now with our players, but we also expect them to put in time. And when you have a group that's this motivated for success, you see it coming during the week when guys are putting in hour and a half, 2 hours of their own on film study at night when they get home. And with that kind of work ethic, you just expect success from a group that's this talented.
Let's turn to tonight's game, the playoff game against Littlestown. Great to have the game on the home field against an opponent that probably a lot of people don't know a lot about. What can you tell us about Littlestown and how they match up?
Well, this is a very successful program. They've won some district titles. They have a experienced coach who runs a really, really tight ship and expects his kids to play physical, and I would expect to see that tonight. A lot of running game, you know, downhill with a big offensive line that will attempt to be more physical than us.
How important is home field advantage then? I mean, you play all season for the opportunity to get to host that first playoff game, and with the way that this community has rallied behind this team, how important is that potentially for your squad?
Well, it's enormous. Over the past 2 years, we're 9-1 at home. You can't ask for much more than that. And, you know, in my mind, and I'm a little biased, but we have the best venue in the mid-state. It's a little bit unique. It's not a cookie-cutter stadium like everybody else has built. And it gives an atmosphere that's a little different, and, you know, our fans bring a whole different world to that. And, you know, we appreciate that, and we're looking forward to tonight being able to go play one more time on that field.
Good luck tonight, Coach.
Thanks, Brian.
Middletown head football coach Brett Myers back with more after this here on the pregame show, here on the Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home Blue Raider Sports Network.
Gingrich Memorials in Middletown is proud to support Blue Raider athletics and academics. The Gingrich family have been in business since 1921. They have their own art staff and in-house laser that can etch photographs or images onto granite. They also do statues, head markers, vases, benches, and monuments. Gingrich Memorials wish the Blue Raiders good luck during the season.
Middletown Home, serving the community since 1875, is a continuing care retirement community. The Middletown Home provides intensive rehabilitation therapy for folks recovering from hospitalization, as well as personal care and independent living apartments. The Middletown Home, serving from the heart in the spirit of friendship, love, and truth. For more information, their number is 944-3351. The Middletown Home, where they serve from the heart.
With kids in mind, Custom Apparel and Accessories does embroidery, heat press, screen printing, and vinyl. They're your home for your school and sports spirit wear. Whether it's a team, group, business, or personal need, no order is too small. With kids in mind, Custom Apparel and Accessories is located at 301 North Union Street in Middletown. Their number is 388-1948. With kids in mind, for the kid in all of us.
J&J Pizza and Family Restaurant of Middletown is a proud supporter of the Blue Raiders. J&J Pizza and Family Restaurant is open for lunch and dinner daily, a late night bite or carry out. Pizza, subs, strombolis, salads, burgers or fries, it's J&J Pizza and Family Restaurant, East Main Street in Middletown, 944-1313.
Solving problems, pushing boundaries, creating solutions. It's what we've been doing for 30 years and what continues to make us different every day. We are DHL Supply Chain, formerly XL. DHL Supply Chain designs and implements innovative contract logistics solutions for market-leading companies in a wide range of industries. We develop and sustain partnerships that deliver true value and thought leadership to make your business more competitive. We're DHL Supply Chain.
Back here on the pregame show as Middletown gets set to take on the Thunderbolts of Littlestown, a team that has won three district championships in their history. I believe the most recent one, 2004. Yeah, it was 84, 89, and 2004, the years that Littlestown has won district championships. Middletown, of course, with two in their history, 86 and 88.
Here's what I've seen out of Littlestown. First, they've got a good runner, tough kid. Wesley Story loves the outside, though. And the competition, the teams they were playing, were not trying to shut him down on the outside. Middletown's a much quicker team than the competition these guys have faced, and they will be able to seal those outsides and either tackle him trying to get out around the edge or not even allow him to get out there. So look for that as one of the big keys here, shutting him down, getting around the outside. The other is the target from the tight end position, Tyler Barthel. You know, they'll go after him, and they'll try to, you know, pass as much as they can. He's 6'3", and he's a good target. But a much quicker team defensively, Middletown is, than any of the teams that Littlestown have played.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have kickoff again. It's Littlestown and Middletown back after this on the Finger Finger Matter Funeral Home Blue Raider Sports Network.
Tim Clouser of Remax Realty Select is a proud supporter of the Blue Raiders. Serving the Middletown area for over 30 years, Tim knows how to move Middletown properties. Thinking of buying or selling, Tim Clouser and Remax Realty Select, located at 250 East Park Drive near the Home Depot, can handle all of your real estate needs. That's Tim Clouser, Remax Realty Select at 526-4300 or online at timclouser.com.
Number one station for high school sports coverage in Central PA is WMSS Middletown, Super 91.
Welcome back, and we are underway here at Middletown's War Veterans Memorial Stadium. Kickoff will be picked up at the 30-yard line and returned out to the 37-yard line, and here again on Veterans Day, we do want to thank all the veterans out there for their service for this country, especially here on this night that we celebrate every year on November 11th.
Nice program today at Middletown Area Middle School that they had, and we broadcasted on WMSS. Lopez with that short return. Littlestown likes to just do squib kicks, so Middletown starts out at their own 37 wearing the blue and gold.
Double wing formation, Thompson in motion. It's going to be a handoff to him. Jet sweep going around the right side, cuts back, and he will be close to a first down. Give him about 9 yards on the carry. They'll mark him down. Actually, good for 8 at the 45-yard line.
Look for Middletown to do its normal mixing of all offense. The runs by Brady Fox, the runs by Thompson, intermixing Tyre Mills into the offense.
And Tyre Mills looked like he left a wee bit early on that one.
He and Plummer on the other side, too.
Yeah.
Someone missed the right call on the offense here. And immediately jumping off. And a very rare mistake. We haven't seen that hardly at all this season.
Full start on Middletown. The ball moved back to the 40-yard line.
5-yard penalty against Middletown. Take it back to the 40. That'll be second down and 7 for the Raiders. First drive of the game here. Now to a little bit early of a start here, just short of 7 o'clock. Stavely in the gun. Here comes Lopez across. It's a high snap, pulled down, and handoff up the middle. Fox trying to push the pile forward, and he'll get about 3 yards. It's going to be bring up a third down here for the Middletown offense.
I want to see him test Anthony Weaver. He's the cornerback who's going to be on Tyre Mills and get him tested early. He's only 5'6". Mills loves those deep post patterns, the quick slants. He's out here on that man coverage. Does he have the speed as Mills? I doubt it. But he'll get a little help out there by Brown at safety.
Third and 4. It's going to be a handoff. Two tops up the middle. Big hole, 50, 45, and he tripped and went down, lost the football. It's going to be picked up by Middletown at the 42 of Littlestown.
I think he was down on contact by himself. Yeah, he tripped over the 45-yard line somehow, and I think he just got so excited because he knew he was going to be off to the races, and I think he was also waiting to see where Mills was going to make the block on that near side onto Weaver, and just with that little foot shuffle, tripped himself up.
So the chalk guy's okay. Play fake. Snavely looking to throw deep, looking for Mills. It is going to be knocked down, incomplete. That was just a little off the mark by Snavely. He threw it a little bit behind Mills and allowed the defender enough time to make the play.
And Tyler Barthel, who we've talked about as being a good target at tight end for this Littlestown team. Able to get the hand in there and staying on that far side to make the stop.
43-yard line where it'll be second down.
Second down and 10 for the Raiders. Slot left, wide right. Fox is on the right side. He comes in motion now. It's going to be a jet sweep to him. Has pressure immediately, but gets to the edge. 40 and going to be out of bounds after a gain. Around 4, 5, or 6 yards. They're going to mark him out at the 37-yard line, so give him 6.
Nice to have that playoff feeling back in the air, getting a little crispy here this evening.
He's forced out of bounds at the 37.
Temperature's going to keep going down slowly. Everyone's bundled, warm. They're ready to rock here in the stands.
Not as cold as some of the other playoff games we talked about before the game. Uh-huh. Third down and 4. Snavely. Hand off to Thompson, and he had nothing. He got hit immediately and knocked down by Andrew Matthews of Littlestown, and he's going to lose 2 yards.
And that was a weird exchange because it almost looked like he didn't want the ball or he thought that someone else was going to get it. Snavely kind of put it there to him, and you know, coach is talking to him right now saying, hey, come on, you got a couple little jitters going on out there. You tripped yourself up. Now this time you just didn't even grab the ball.
Fourth down and 6. Middletown will go. Leach comes in motion. High snap. Handoff goes to Fox. He is hit immediately, and he's going to be knocked down for no gain. And Littlestown is going to take the field on offense at their own 39-yard line.
And that's a good defensive stand for them. Give them a little confidence on the first possession, offensive possession of the game for Middletown. Again, the Raiders could already be up in this game, but right there a few little mistakes. And Littlestown making the right reads, able to make the stop, and they'll get the football for the first time in this football game.
Quarterback is Tanner Noble. The running back, as you had mentioned, is going to be Wes Story. He is going to get the pitch, and he is going to get eaten alive in the backfield. Bobby Graham comes in and stops him for a loss of 4.
Well, they know that they like using that pitch. They try to get him outside, and so many teams that I watched on their video today of games they played, no one was blocking that outside. No one was penetrating on the outside, cutting off the edges, and no other teams had the speed we do on the outside.
Slot to both sides, man in motion coming to the right. It's going to be a quick throw, and it's going to be incomplete. Looking to get at the Story out there. But incomplete, third down and 14.
He was open. He was just already looking upfield to see where he was going to go. And knowing that Middletown is bringing the pressure up the middle, Noble's going to be getting rid of that football very quickly in this game. And they like using the screen pass as well. So watch many times when they know Middletown's got that blitz coming in. He's just going to keep backpedaling real quick and try to get a screen off. But I'm sure Middletown has seen that on film.
Story, 915 yards rushing and 16 touchdowns on the season. They'll line up with 4 receivers to the left side, 1 to the right. Noble's going to roll that way. He throws, and it is going to be caught, I believe, and it's going to be short of the first down. Though.
Well, I thought it was caught, but I guess he trapped it in the grass.
Yeah,
incomplete.
They call it a trap.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a low pass. Dove for it. Trapped it on the ground, and quickly Middletown's defense gives them the 3 and out.
So fourth down for Littlestown. Punter, I believe it's Corbin Brown, and he will get a low line driver. Bounces a couple times. Mills will field it at the 34-yard line. Comes to the sideline. 45, now gets a block and an illegal one, and he's going to get tackled at the 50-yard line. This is going to come back probably all the way to the 35 with the penalty.
Yeah, notice he could have just gone out of bounds on the near side, but not him. He wants to stay in play and try to make something great happen every time, which you got to give him a lot of credit for. He's so electric out there, but when your team is giving you some bad holds, it's going back. So some early penalties here by Middletown. We talk so much about that homecoming game, not homecoming game, but the game against Palmyra, where it was a big game. They only won 14-10. A lot of mistakes in that game by the Blue Raiders, and none of them were happy after the game, even though they won that game. They knew how badly they had played. And right now, just get the jitters out and tighten up your game.
Slot left, Lopez in motion, handoff Fox, cuts back to the left side, 45, midfield, 40, still on his feet, 20, they're not going to get him. Freddie Fox into the end zone, touchdown, Middletown, 62-yard run for Brady Fox, and it's 6-0 Raiders.
The last one that had a chance on him was free safety Corbin Brown on the near side, and I don't know if he stumbled over his own feet, but he kind of dove at the ankles. It wasn't even close to the ankles. And
yeah,
he just needed to just slow up just a hair and just blow past him then.
Yeah, it looked like he was going to get pushed out of bounds or something, but the defender made the wrong decision. And Donovan Brady in for the PAT. It is up. It is good. We'll take timeout. 8:13 left to play. In the first quarter, it is Middletown 7, Littlestown nothing. Back after this on the Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home Blue Raider Sports Network.
The Brownstone Cafe cooks up home-style meals in a relaxed atmosphere. The Brownstone Cafe has a variety of daily specials, and their menu is filled with a wide selection of pastas, steaks, seafood, soups, and desserts. The Brownstone Cafe is open for breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, and their staff wishes the Raiders good luck during the season. The Brownstone Cafe in downtown Middletown. Open Monday through Saturday, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., Sundays, 8 to 8.
Jack's Auto Sales is a family-owned business since 1986. Jack's Auto Sales deals in used cars and trucks. They also have a five-bay repair garage offering engine work, brakes, exhaust, front-end alignment, and tires. Open Monday through Friday from 7:30 a.m. till 5:30 p.m., Saturdays 9 to 12, or by appointment. That's Jack's Auto Sales, 2189 West Harrisburg Pike on Route 230 in Middletown. Their number is 944-7363 or online at www.jacksautosales.net.
Middletown as the Raiders will kick it off. Returned at the 10-yard line by Story. Headed to the far side. Still on his feet. Breaking a couple tackles. And gets out across the 35-yard line. So a nice return by Wes Story for Littlestown. They'll start at their own 37-yard line.
The Middletown defense takes to the field again. You look at this Middletown offense and defense. And, you know, offensively this season averaging, what, around 41 points a game. And how many mercy rules did we have this season?
7 of the last 8, I know. Ooh. That. First down and 10 here for the Thunderbolts. Wide to either side, eye backfield, handoff goes to Story up the middle, and he's trying to push forward, gets a couple yards to the 38, 38 and a half, giving 3 on the carry, it'll be 2nd and 7.
And the most given up this year, only the 20 points to Milton Hershey, but that was, you know, some of that was JV, second team action. Otherwise, it was always either 0, 7, 10. And a lot of that was after the mercy rule was instituted.
Split backfield here in 2nd down and 7. It's going to be Noble with a quick pass caught by Barthol just short of the first down. They're going to mark him down at the 47-yard line. Or rather, the 45-yard line.
McCoy making the tackle, and he's on him. But you know, there's a little size mismatch there. This is going to be their target guy. Barthol is 6'3", and he's got very good hands. So they're going to have to play him a little bit tighter in this contest.
They did give him enough for the first down. They marked it out to the 46-yard line. So it's 1st and 10 for Littlestown. They have slot to both sides. Story is out there on the left side in the slot. Going to be Noble with a quick pass. Caught Barthol at the 49 of Middletown. So a gain of 5 yards. Tackled immediately. And 2nd and 5.
You know what's surprising to me, Steve, is that the Littlestown fans, there's more of them up here this week than the Steel High fans that showed up last week. We were a little disappointed with the showing of Steel High, who did incidentally make the playoffs. They're in the district championship of single eight next week.
No, that's tomorrow.
Oh, that is tomorrow. I thought it was next week.
No, that's tomorrow.
Tomorrow. My bad.
2nd down and 5.
Good crowd.
From the 49 of Middletown. Slot to both sides again. Noble under center. Story comes back into the backfield. They lateral it out to him, and he will run to the left. Picks up 3 yards. Gets to the 46-yard line, but we have a penalty flag Throw it back behind the line of scrimmage. Probably going to be a hold against Littlestown.
No, we've seen so many different odd passes this year. I don't even know what that one was. We got a chop block against Littlestown. But he kind of just leaned to his side, threw it, kind of pushed it two-hand out to the side. I don't know if that was even a lateral or forward pass. But
the penalty is a chop block against Littlestown.
Either way, it doesn't matter. It's coming back.
It's coming back, and it's coming way back. That's a 15-yarder. So now it'll be second down. And 22.
The ball's
all the way back to the 34.
Where it will remain at second down.
McDevitt has taken the early lead, 6-0 on Milton Hershey.
A second and 22 here for Littlestown. Three receivers to the left side, one to the right. No shotgun. Oh, straight back to pass. They're setting up the screen. It is caught by Matthews. He's got some room, 40, and tackled at the 44-yard line. That is a gain of 10 yards. It'll be third down and 12.
I just mentioned that a few minutes ago. They love going to that screen pass. Middletown bid on it. I think they'll learn from that one in the future. You got to keep at least one or two guys back. But, again, they didn't give up a lot out of it. But you're going to see that screen being used. You're going to see a lot of outside runs, mostly by Story.
Third down and 12. Slot left, wide right. Noble under center. Play fake. Now we'll throw. It's Barthel. It's caught. It's going to be a first down at the 40-yard line of Middletown.
And I don't know who was on him. No one was even close. They're giving Barthel too much room early on here in this game. And he had at least 5 yards, maybe 6-7 yards separation between he and any of the Middletown defensive secondary.
Three catches for 29 yards for Barthel. And the Bolts are in business here at the Middletown 39-yard line. Two receivers to the left, one to the right. Noble takes the snap. He'll loop it up to Story on the screen, and the screen wasn't there as Story gets tackled for nothing.
Yeah, that time only one person charging in on Noble. How do you know it's going to be a screen? Well, he's already backing up. He's backing up quickly because he knows that the line is allowing the defensive front to easily get in on him. That's the whole idea. Let that defensive front chase the quarterback down, and meanwhile he can just lob it over their heads, and you have somebody open, and you already got the blockers leading the way. But Middletown not falling for it that time.
Slot right, wide left. Pitch goes to Matthews. He'll try to get outside. He does so, 30, and down to the 25-yard line. He'll get 15 yards and another first down for Littlestown.
Getting some good blocking out there. Lucas Hayes, one of those guys giving a little protection.
Number 42.
And leading the way for this Littlestown team. And they're picking up their assignments right now, not allowing Middletown to get in so easily into those gaps that we've seen the Raiders be able to penetrate all season. Got Brandon Morey as well, 6-foot senior down there on the line.
First and 10, Littlestown at the Middletown 24. High backfield, and Noble's going to get Middletown to jump.
Yeah, three of them jumped all at one time trying to read that snap count. Just too anxious to get on them. Updated score for those of you listening on WMSSFM.com. We've got two streams going tonight. This one, of course, WMSS doing the Middletown game, and the other is Brian Kaiser, Eric Thomas out at Central Dolphin. They have a 7-0 lead midway through the first quarter on Manheim Township.
First down and 5 now at the Middletown 19-yard line. Slot left, wide right. Noble rolling, throwing, and behind his receiver. I have a story he was looking to get it to, but incomplete. Second down and 5.
And Raiders had good coverage on Story. As soon as he touched that ball, he got drilled down into the turf. And he's going to take his licks tonight because he's going to get the ball a lot. When you get the ball a lot against the Middletown team, be prepared to be bruised and battered by the time you get out of here at the end of the night. I think there's a bunch of players who found that out this season. We'll start with Neely at East Pennsboro.
Second down and 5. Slot to the right. Wide left is Barthel. High backfield behind Story, or behind Noble, who's in the or under center. Hands it off up the middle. That's Corbin Brown with the give, and he is going to be close to the first down. He got 4 yards, and it'll be third down and one.
Man, a nice little cut to the left side once he got through the line. Truesdale had to come up and make that tackle. Truesdale getting a lot of action since the injury to Stettler this season. And a very good chance that Corbin Stettler could be coming back next week or the following week. And the same with Ryan Hughes in 2 weeks, quite possibly at wide receiver.
Split backfield here on third down and one. Handoff going to go to Morey. He's going to try to go to the right side, and I think he's going to get it on the second effort. He's going to get just across the 14, and a first down for Littlestown as they're moving the football here in the Middletown red zone. Now we'll call it at the 13-yard line.
Dylan Morey, a power back. And I'll tell you, he's got good size for a sophomore. Littlestown's going to get a lot of action out of him the next couple seasons. And right there, able to power his way to the inside just enough for the first down. And we'll see how the Raiders do here defensively in the red zone. This first team does not like being scored upon.
12th play of the drive here for Littlestown. Split backfield. Going to be a pitch. Aniston Matthews trying to get to the edge, and he's going to be brought back to the inside a little bit and tackled after a short gain. Down to the 10-yard line. It'll be second down and seven.
Good student section made their way up here as well for Littlestown. Seeing down that far side down toward the corner. Great to see that out of small schools, that hometown feel, everyone being a part and enjoying the games. And to make a long trip like this, you know, an hour long to get up here to Middletown, says a lot about that community and their football.
Second down and seven, slot left, wide right, eye backfield, Noble under center. Takes the snap, hands off, Story up the middle, and nothing. He gets tackled at the line of scrimmage, no gain on the play.
And Griffin Rattaball, one of those in there, making the stop for Middletown.
He stopped at the 10-yard line, where it'll be third down.
The Raiders are... Well, you're in the playoffs now. You're out of the regular season. You're going to see tougher competition. And in Triple A, right now it's Littlestown, Wyomissing, Bermudian Springs.
Third down and seven. They haven't gone to Barthel recently. He's on the left. Slot to the right side. It's going to be a pitch, though. That's Matthews trying to get to the edge. And he is going to find his way into the end zone for the touchdown. 10-yard touchdown run by Andrew Matthews, and Littlestown is an extra point away from tying this game.
Well, again, the Raiders knew going into this, they're going to be doing a lot of pitches and trying to take it around the outside right there. Poor containment, a lot of arm tackling, no one getting to the body. And Littlestown saying, hey, look, you know, we're in these playoffs for a reason, and we're going to play you tough, Middletown.
Devin Gullickson in to kick the extra point for the Bolts. Out of the hold of Ben Snaufer. The hold was down, but we've got a flag thrown.
Well, judging by their kickoffs, and since they do just a lot of short squibbing up the middle of the field, you get the feeling that they're going to have a little struggle as well on their kicking game. So since penalties against Middletown, they'll go for two instead. Yeah,
they're going to try to go for two here and take the lead.
Yeah, it's a weakness for them, the kicking game, so why not?
So the lineup to go for two from the 1 yard line here. Eye backfield. Everybody's in tight here. Story is the deep man in the eye. He's going to get the give, and he is going to be into the end zone for the two-point conversion. So we'll take timeout. 59 seconds left in the first quarter. It is Littlestown 8, Middletown 7. Back after this on the Fager Finkenbinder Funeral Home Blue Raider Sports Network.
C&E Lawn Care and Landscaping can handle all of your lawn care needs. They do mowing, landscaping, full tree service, snow removal, and so much more. And they're now accepting new commercial and residential customers for next year. C&E Lawn Care and Landscaping. Anything under the sun can be done. That's C&E Lawn Care and Landscaping, 982-0701. That's 982-0701. PA 853-972.
Black Horse Tavern is under new management. Open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner, the Black Horse Tavern has all-you-can-eat crab legs on Tuesdays, tacos and trivia on Thursday nights, and steak for two on Saturday nights. They also have the NFL ticket and all-day game specials on Saturdays and Sundays. Carryout is available, and they have private rooms for special occasions. That's the Black Horse Tavern, located at the corner of Main and Pine Streets in Middletown.
War Memorial Field here in Middletown. 8-7 Littlestown has taken the lead. Here's the squib kick taken by Dylan Andre at the 35-yard line. Returns it out, loses the football. It's not picked up, and it looks like Littlestown is going to fall on it. They had the best shot at it.
Uh-huh. They got it. Dylan Andre. Middletown.
Middletown got it. I think Jonah McCoy ended up at the bottom of the pile. And ended up with it.
That was ugly. Because Andre had it and then just coughed it up. And then Trey Leva went to pick it up and run with it. And the next thing you know, it was out of his hands. And great job by McCoy. I don't know how he ended up with that football. I thought for sure the Colts had it.
So the Raiders keep it here. First and 10 at their own 49-yard line. Snavely shotgun. Fox goes in motion out of the backfield. It's going to be a pick. And it's going to be blown dead, luckily for Middletown, as Ben Snaufer read that play totally, and he jumped the pass. He was going to score a touchdown, but the flag was thrown, and the play is blown dead. This is the best 5-yard penalty against Middletown they will ever have.
You got that right. And that play you could read. As soon as you see Brady Fox going and curving into the backfield even more, most times this season, that has been that lateral pass in most cases, or just a little flare out. And right there, perfectly read by Stauffer. Should have been a pick six.
First and 15, slot to the right, wide left, handoff up the middle. Fox, and he is upended for a gain of 4 yards. Back to the 48-yard line.
Down by number five, Milton Hershey on the board now, 7-7 against Bishop McDevitt.
I think it's going to be a dogfight.
Yeah, we'll be running down all the scores for you.
Middletown quickly to the line of scrimmage. There's a pass caught by Plummer at the 44-yard line. He's going to be about 3 yards short of the first down, give him a gain of 8 yards.
Raiders have got to settle down. Because a lot of these mistakes we're seeing are almost jittery mistakes that are taking place out there. Uncharacteristic, except for that Paul Myra game.
The 44-yard line where it'll be third down.
Now we've got a timeout.
End of the quarter.
End of the quarter.
Quickie.
So we will take timeout. Our score after one quarter, it's Littlestown 8, Middletown 7. Back after this on the Fager Finkelmeyer for your home Blue Raiders Sports Network.
The new S&H Screen Printing and Awards, formerly Hughes Awards and Triple S Screen Printing, have combined forces to bring the Middletown area quality and service with their own in-house screen printing, awards, trophies, and promotional products. They have two locations to serve you, 6 West Main Street, Hummelstown, and 3300 East Harrisburg Pike, Middletown. Their number is 944-6680 or 566-0245. That's S&H Screen Printing and Awards.
The Hetrick Center, proudly serving Middletown since 1979. Specializing in musculoskeletal and neurological conditions, the Hetrick Center has chiropractic, physical therapy, aquatic therapy, and massage from a team of non-surgical specialists collaborating for the patient's benefit. They accept most major insurances and are home of the HydroWorks aquatic therapy pools. They have offices in Mechanicsburg, Mount Joy, Harrisburg, and Middletown. The Hetrick Center, moving you in the right direction.
Jim Siebert's Garage salutes the Steel High Rollers. Jim Siebert is an ASE certified master technician. At Jim Siebert's Garage, they do state inspections with emissions testing, oil changes, air conditioning, tune-ups, batteries, and tires. Jim Siebert's Garage also has small engine repair for your lawnmower, tractor, or snowblower. Siebert's is located just outside Steelton at 1649 South Cameron Street. It's Jim Siebert's Garage. Open Monday through Friday. Their number is 234-1725.
Memorial Field here. Steve Levy, John Willis, Bach. After one quarter, Littlestown leading Middletown 8-7 as we had a rendition of God Bless America between the between the quarters there.
Yeah, a little obviously uncharacteristic of having something in between the quarters.
Well, it's Veterans Day.
It is,
so.
But they did do something before the game. I just didn't think they'd do it in between the quarters.
I'm surprised the district allowed.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, we want to thank one of our new sponsors tonight, Siebert's Garage out of Steel High School District. They only sponsor the Rollers, but they're sponsoring Middletown, too.
And off goes to Fox on third down and three, trying to find his way to the sideline. Can't get there. He's going to be ripped down. No gain. It'll be fourth and three for Middletown. And we'll see what Middletown decides to do here.
Well, they've been fearless in the past at this, but that's when they're going against teams who are allowing yardage each play. That hasn't been happening, but they're still not going to punt.
Nope. Offense is going to be out there. Three receivers to the right, one to the left. Snavely looks back over at the sideline.
Unless he's going to do a little pooch punt, but I doubt that, or they're trying to draw him offside.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think they're going to just straight go for it. Handoff goes to Thompson. He is in trouble in the backfield, and he is going to be tackled for a loss of 4 yards on the play, and Littlestown will take over near midfield.
Yeah, Middletown playing without confidence right now. Almost thinking that they could cakewalk early on here, and Littlestown has stepped up their game. And right there, charging in. Middletown, again, kind of running tentatively with the ball. And the Bolts are making some early noise here.
And now their offense has the confidence after their 14-play, 64-yard drive that got them the lead in this game. Quick throw out to Barthel. That is caught, and he's going to be wrapped up after a short gain. Give him maybe 3 yards to midfield.
Well, he tightened up on him a little bit more on that far side, but they've got to stay like that the rest of this game. And he'll catch it on the side over there, near side, for the quick pop pass and then take off. And other times, he'll go deep. But you cannot give him any room.
Barthel, 44 catches on the year. So they use him very often. High backfield, wide out to either side here at midfield for Littlestown. Noble under center. Handoff goes to Story, and he is going to be shut down. Loss of two. Back to the 48.
Well, and they're starting to realize
what
the video shows. He always goes outside. Story rarely goes up the middle. You're always going to see him take the pitch, try to get out around the outside, or try to get off the tackle or end. But right there, they shut him down right around the end.
Third down and nine from the Middletown 48-yard line. High backfield slot to the left, wide right. That is going to be, no, that's not Barthel, but it's going to be Noble looking to throw, and it's going to be picked off. It is picked off by Blake Jacoby at the 49-yard line.
Jacoby got in front of it, but the pressure, the perfect read where Griffin Radabaugh. Radabaugh knew right where Noble was going. The offense was going to the far side. Noble, nice little flip around. And that little play action did not fool Radabaugh, and he was on him, hitting him as he got rid of the football. And a great job by Jacoby. A step in front. He's only a junior. He's had a great season
Noble
to get it.
Noble had to throw that off his back foot.
Yeah.
Here's a handoff to Thompson on first down. Cuts it up and will be tackled into Littlestown territory. Gain of 4 yards to the 47-yard line.
I think it's only time before Thompson breaks a big one. He would have done that in that first series, but he tripped.
It'll be a second down.
Second down and six. At the 47. Lopez in motion. He'll stop. Now there's play fake. Mills. And they're going to look to get that, I guess, a bubble screen over on the far side, but it's incomplete.
Yeah, almost like that slip screen where he comes back a little bit, but he was out of position. One, he was lined up way too far outside that it took that long of a pass to get over there. Once again, dangerous. We saw earlier where it could have been a pick six had Middletown not been offside on that. This one as well. Slip screen, receiver coming back, circling back, hoping to get some blocking in front when he gets the pass, but it was off the mark just a little bit. He was outside a little bit too far.
Third down and six at the 46 of Littlestown. Snavely in the shotgun. Lopez comes in motion across. It's going to be a play fake. Snavely looking to throw deep down the middle, and it's just overthrown. Looking for Malik Noon, the tight end, incomplete. So now fourth down and six.
And you've been 0 for 2 on these fourth down conversions here. I would be surprised if they go for it again on fourth down instead of just trying to pin Littlestown deep.
I'm not surprised. The offense is still on the field, and I would be surprised if they would kick it.
They'll go for it.
Yep. Slot left, wide right. Snavely. Shotgun takes the snap. Rolling left side. Throws on the run. Mills caught. 35-yard line and out of bounds at the 32.
Good rollout, far side. He kept his eyes on Mills. He knew he had the pressure coming on the back side, and Mills staying right with him, going to the far sideline. He put it where it had to be, and Mills makes a nice fourth down catch.
First down and 10 for Middletown at the Littlestown 32-yard line. Plummer comes wide to the right side along with Lopez, so slot that way. Thompson in the backfield with Snavely. Fox is lined up as a wing back. Handoff goes up the middle. Thompson breaks a tackle, gets inside the 25-yard line. And it'll be set up a second down and 2 here for Middletown.
Yeah, we're early here in the second quarter. You start saying in this game, at what point do you start breaking down the opposing team, starting to wear them down a little bit? Middletown obviously came out strong, came out tough, moving the ball, but at what point are you physically better to beat them down?
Fox in the backfield this time. Second down and 2. Mills is way wide to the right side. Thompson in motion. Going to be play fake. Snavely looking deep down the middle, and it's overthrown. Looking to get it to Mills, but incomplete.
Looking for that deep post pattern. Put it out just a little bit too far in front of him.
The bar means at the 25-yard line where it'll be third down.
And he knew he had him. Snavely's upset with himself. Jumped up and down several times after the incomplete, because he was just off the mark a little bit. But part of that's because Littlestown's really getting in on them, Steve.
Yeah.
They're starting to get some good penetration, and you know, Snavely hasn't had a lot of that problem this season.
Third down and 2. Littlestown shifting around. Snavely doesn't have everybody right, and Coach Myers takes the timeout, so we'll step out as well. 8:21 left to play in the second quarter. It is Littlestown 8, Middletown 7. Back after this on the Fager Finkenbinder Funeral Home Blue Raider Sports Network.
Fager Finkenbinder Funeral Home and Crematory is a Middletown resident-owned funeral home. Melvin Fager Jr. and Travis Finkenbinder, along with Supervisor Bethany Moley, are using technology to better serve you and your family during a time of bereavement. They can also assist with pre-planning to protect your family from unnecessary burdens. Fager Finkenbinder Funeral Home and Crematory. Keeping it local, respectful, and affordable. Fager Finkenbinder. Not just another funeral home.
Welcome back to Middletown War Memorial Field. 8-7, Littlestown leads Middletown in with 8:21 left to play in the first half. By the way, the other AAA game, Wyomissing, has a 7-0 lead in the second quarter over Bermuda. Third down and 2 here for the Raiders. Double wing formation. Leach goes in motion. He's going to get the give going around the left side. He's going to have the first down, it appears. The marker went down right around where he did. So,
well, you like getting Leach in there. Give him a little action with that jet sweep package sometimes. He's only a junior, 5'9". Seen a lot of action, and more so as a wide receiver or in the defensive secondary. But they do move the chains.
In 3 yards and the first down.
Someone asked me the other day, said, oh, well, great year for Middletown. They won't have anything after this year. I said, au contraire.
You're going to have a lot on the line to replace.
Got a lot on the line to replace, but you've got a lot of skilled guys coming back.
First down and 10 at the 22 of Littlestown. Slot to the right side. Snavely. Thompson beside him. Handoff to Thompson. Trying to break it to the left side. Finds some room, gets across the 20, and tackled at the 18-yard line.
Number 7, Jalen.
Tell you, they're getting enough of their hands on him, grabbing enough that they're slowing him down enough, and then forcing him to either cut to right or left instead of going up the middle. We've seen him so many times when he breaks through that line. It's just a clear path, wide open, to just charge up the middle. Here, they're getting something on him and slowing him down enough that all of a sudden he realizes now that the defense has compensated, they're in front of him, and he has to go right or left, which, again, takes up more time and then allows the defenders to get on him, not give him as much yardage as we've seen in the past.
Slot left. Now Lopez in motion. Handoff going to go to Fox. Cuts back. 15, 10, 5 hurdles of player, and he's down just inside the 5-yard line.
And he needs, what, 63 yards going into this game?
Oh, he's already over.
Yep. Already over the 1,000 mark on the season for Brady Fox.
He's down at the 5-yard line, but it's a first down.
That was a 13-yard run. That puts him at 88 yards for the day. And first and goal for Middletown at the 5-yard line. Yeah, Fox needed 63, and yep, he got it all on that 62-yard touchdown run. Handoff goes to Fox. He's going to burrow his way down to about the 1. They're not going to call him in. The officials,
number 34, Brady Fox again with the carry.
Officials run in, and they are going to call it second down and goal.
Seeing that knee hit down just before he got to the goal line. But it's close, and he'll just take one more surge here. And we've seen a lot this season, a few times, where Snavely has done a nice job just surging as quarterback right behind his center, his lineman, and taking it in himself.
Yep, everybody's lined up close. There's the snap. Snavely pushes forward. And he is in. Touchdown, Middletown, a 1-yard touchdown burrow by Chase Snavely, and a late flag is thrown. So we'll see what that's all about.
Well, afterwards, a little extracurricular activity probably in the pile. Trey Michael comes out of it clapping his hands. I think that was Trey Michael, yeah, so my guess is if it is against Littlestown, which I think it will be, probably be assessed on the kickoff, but now Brett Myers is being talked to by one of the officials. So let's see who it's actually against.
Yeah, not sure. Here we go. Personal foul, Middletown.
And they'll assess it on the kickoff.
It's a personal foul against Middletown.
They'll mark it back at that time.
Interesting. I would have considered putting it on him here for the extra point. There's the snap, the hold, the kick by Brady is up and good. So we will take timeout. 6:26 left to play in the first half. Middletown 14, Littlestown 8. Back after this on the Fager Finger Minor Funeral Home Blue Raiders Sports Network.
Michelle's Creations with You in Mind is getting ready to celebrate 20 years in the community. Michelle's Creations with You in Mind can handle your fall and homecoming floral needs with corsages and boutonnieres available. And Christmas flowers are just around the corner. Michelle's Creations with You in Mind is here to help your floral needs for all occasions of life. Located on Dock Street in Upper Royalton, they're open Monday through Friday from 9 to 5, Saturdays 9 to 3. Their number is 944-5425.
Retake the lead 14-8 on an 11-play, 51-yard drive. Took 3 minutes and 24 seconds off the clock. 1-yard touchdown run by Chase Snavely. And the extra point gives Middletown a 6-point lead here, 14-8.
So far, a good fought game by both these teams. And Middletown had to work, had to earn that touchdown.
Hey, Middletown's getting punched in the mouth here.
That's right.
Littlestown has brought some game here tonight. Kickoff is going to be back to the 20-yard line. And you return down to the 30, 35, and that's where Littlestown will take control as Corbin Brown returns it.
I like Donovan Brady in his kickoffs, and right there, you know, they have to move him back, and he's still got a good end over end, fairly deep.
He's brought down at the
Raiders didn't allow much of a return.
That's, I don't know, I would have considered taking the 15-yard penalty, because that would have made it a 35-yard extra point. High school field goal kicker could have kept a point off the board.
I think he still would have hit it.
He has the leg, too.
Yeah.
Slot both sides. Handoff goes up the middle, and that is going to be Matthews, I believe. Yeah, that's Matthews with a 2-yard run to the 39.
Number 42, Andrew Matthews with the carry.
Yeah, he's their inside guy. We know Story likes to do the outside stuff. Raiders have just got to keep filling those holes up the middle, cutting down the outside, and just keeping the tight D on Tyler Barthel, the wide receiver.
Slot right, wide left. Noble under center, split backfield, pitch goes to Matthews, and he is going to be strung out and nothing doing. Over on the right side, good flow by the Middletown defensive front.
Yeah, good flow and, you know, good containment. He's going to go outside. That's fine. He's just not going to be allowed to cut it up anywhere. And that whole defensive line flowed there. And then you've got the linebacker secondary so quick for Middletown this year, able to shoot back in there and add that extra support, not giving up any yardage.
Third down and 8 at the 39-yard line of Middletown. Middletown will come out wide to either side, and now going to be a timeout taken by Littlestown. So we'll step out. 5:05 left to play in the first half. Littlestown. Middletown 14, Littlestown 8. Back after this in the Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home, Blue Raider Sports Network.
Middletown Pharmacy and Gift Shop is located at the Midtown Plaza, and they're a Hallmark Gold Crown store. They have 4,800 square feet of carts, collectibles, Yankee candles and gifts, and their pharmacy with people you know and trust, like Brian, Nate, or Deb. Open Monday through Friday, 9 to 8, Saturdays, 9 to 5. That's the Middletown Pharmacy and Gift Shop. Proud Blue Raider sponsors.
Welcome back. Middletown's War Memorial Field. Steve Leedy, John Wilsbach.
Out of town score, Steve McDevitt has taken a 14-7 lead on Milton Hershey with 9 minutes to go in the second quarter.
And we will say there's one other score I'll give here. And remember, Wyomissing lost to Berks Catholic last week, 22-14. Berks Catholic already hung the mercy rule on East Pennsboro. 35-0.
Wow.
Here's Noble rolling out. Throws. Barthel caught at the 45-yard line. Middletown will push him back. And it's going to be short of the first down. 2 yards short.
Number 84, Tyler Barthel.
So that's going to bring up a fourth down and 2. And a likely punt here.
You'd think, but I don't know. These teams are fearless so far in this game on fourth down. And once again, the Raiders just have not found the niche to stop Barthel yet and get him tighter and keep that ball out of his hands.
So fourth and 2 at the 45-yard line of Littlestown. The Bolts will line up at least to look like they're going to go. High backfield. Running out of time. They will hand it off to Story, and he is going to be slammed down in the backfield. No gain. And LaRon Woody makes the hit for Middletown. And that's going to put it and put Middletown with a football at the Littlestown 43-yard line. If you're on the other side of midfield, okay, but in your own half?
I thought Littlestown coaches were going to call a timeout there because Middletown almost had 11 guys defensively on the line. They all but had 8 and 3. They were almost all up defensively, and if the play call is to just run Story up through there, he was not going to get through.
First and 10, Middletown at the Littlestown 43-yard line. Slot left, wide right is Mills. Mills now comes into motion. He's going to get the give, trying to get to the edge. And Jalen Thompson's going to be called for a hold. Mills is going to find the sideline, but there's going to be a hold on Thompson.
Yeah, Thompson on that far side. He had the job of blocking off the man, and you could tell that he was holding as much as he could to make that stop, to give Mills enough room to get around him.
Now, it could be looked at as either way. They do call it a hold. And that's going to be a couple yards in the backfield, so Middletown's going to lose about 12, 13 yards on the penalty.
The ball moved to the 44-yard line.
Winner of this game gets the winner of Wyomissing Bermudian Springs. That game next Thursday night at Hershey Park Stadium.
So first and, I guess, 23 for Middletown. And off goes to Fox. Cuts to the right. Has some room. Cross midfield. Breaks a tackle. Breaks another tackle. Gets to the sideline. And out of bounds. Down around the 36-yard line. That is a tough run by Brady Fox. When he decided to cut it to the right, he really didn't have much support out that way. He did most of that himself.
Yeah. A lot of moves. Fakes one man down to the turf. Little stiff arm here and there. And Fox knows how to make up what the penalty took away.
18 on the run, and makes it a second down and manageable here for Middletown, second and five. Three receivers to the right side. Snavely, shotgun, Thompson to his right in the backfield. Fox comes in motion. They play fake to him. It's going to be a quick throw, and it's going to be knocked down. I think Ben Snaufer got a hand on it and batted it down.
Yeah, Snaufer was in there, and so was Heininger, and he's kind of gimpy right now and just might go off. He's hobbling around on that one ankle. But he's going to stay out there on the field.
Nope, now he's going to go out. Third down and five. Two receivers to the left side of the formation. Yeah, Majerski lined up right behind the tackle on the right side. It's going to be Thompson. They're going to power it that way, and Thompson backs his way down to the 35-yard line. Going to be short of the first down by about a yard.
Dylan Thompson with the carry.
He kind of went in, didn't have much room there, kind of turned his back and tried to gain what he could out of that. We're not seeing him get the holes that he normally expects.
No.
Getting the openings. And we've seen that a few different times this season. When that happens, they change that game a little bit more. Go to more of an outside game with him and then open up Brady Fox for others.
Everybody lined up in tight here. First down and about a yard and a half, and they just push Snavely forward, and I think he's going to have it. He needed about a yard and a half. I think it was a gutsy call for that down in distance, but Snavely, I think, has it. He needed about a yard and a half, and they get it.
Yeah, we've seen that many times on the goal line. That time, that far back, that extra yard and a half.
Down at the 33-yard line.
They weren't afraid to go at it. It's showing that Brett Myers feels confident in his offense against this Littlestown team, going for it on the fourth downs all these times.
Slot left, Fox in the backfield with Snavely. Handoff, he is going to go to Fox, cuts it to the right, 30-yard line, and he will be roped down at the 28. We've got a flag thrown at the 33-yard line. Myers is talking to the official down there.
He's yelling at the official. The official's kind of pointing and yelling something back at him. And I think it's against Middletown. Face mask. So he's calling a stiff arm that we saw Brown. I'm assuming Brady Fox had a little stiff arm and calling that a face mask.
That face mask is going to take it all the way back to the 48-yard line.
Almost seems like it's turning into that Paul Myra game, doesn't it? The Raiders kept making a lot of mistakes, a lot of penalties, and should have been up much more than what they were in that contest.
So first down and 25, as that is the 15-yard penalty from the line of scrimmage. Slot left, wide right is Mills. Snavely rolling, looking to throw it, gets it to Thompson, out in the flats, trying to get to the sideline, 40, now cuts back, 35, and he'll be tackled right around the original line of scrimmage, so he gets the 15 yards back they lost on the penalty.
Sure does seem like he's having a problem with his footing. Not to take away, you know, where he tripped over his own feet out there at the 45 very early in this contest, but just there, getting his balance and getting his footing, it just doesn't seem like he's right now where he normally is on this field.
And we got everybody was on the same snap count except for the center that time. And it's going to be a five-yard penalty against Middletown, who I have now for 65 yards worth of penalties in the first half here
on Middletown.
Eight of them.
Yeah, they might want to put some foam boards in front of the doors when they close at halftime down there to keep the keep the content and the yelling out. Yeah, I get the feeling that you know, these mistakes that they're making, a lot of dumb mistakes. This coaching staff is not going to be happy.
Slot right, wide left, second down 15, Snavely. From the Littlestown 38-yard line, play fake to Thompson. It's going to be a throw. caught by Mills. Gets it blocked. 35-30 and tackled forward to the 25-yard line, just short of the first down.
We remind you to check out our Facebook page, WMSS 91.1. Our Facebook.
He's brought down at the 25-yard line where it'll be third down.
Master Dan McGarro here, keeping things updated tonight as we get a timeout.
Timeout. Littlestown will step out as well. 1:36 left to play in the first half. It's Middletown 14, Littlestown 8. Back after this on the Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home, Blue Raider Sports Network.
The Olmsted Plaza Barbershop and owner Doug Hoover have been cutting the hair of area residents for over 54 years. Most of the old plaza has been torn down, but the Olmsted Plaza Barbershop is still standing. Open Monday through Thursday, 8 a.m. to 6:30 p.m., Friday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. That's the Olmsted Plaza Barbershop, proud Blue Raider sponsor.
Welcome back, Middletown's War Memorial Field. Steve Lee, John Lewis Bach, Darren Rank, our studio producer this evening. Owen Hedder is here somewhere. Jamar Parker, I believe, is back at the station as well. Third down and... it's like about a yard and a half here from Middletown at the Littlestown 25-yard line. You know it's four-down territory anyway for Middletown. Snavely in a shotgun, two receivers to the right side. Thompson in the backfield. He's going to get the give. Goes left, gets the first down. Spun around at the 20 and down at about the 18 for a gain of seven and a first down.
Out-of-town scores on our other game at WMSSFM.com. Central Dolphin leading Manheim Township 14-7 late in the second quarter of that game. And also, McDevitt now up 21-7 on Milton Hershey in the second.
Deep pass looking for Mills, and there comes the flag. It's going to be pass interference. Mills was ahead of the defender, and it's going to be pass interference for sure here against Littlestown.
And for many teams, that's about the only way you can defend him. You know, either holding him or just clobbering him.
Against Littlestown.
You know, the crowd appreciative that a call finally goes Middletown's way, but again, the calls that have gone against Middletown have all been legitimate calls. Or at least we believe.
That should be a 9-yard penalty, effectively half the distance to the goal. First down and goal at the 9 for Middletown. Here with a minute 20 left to go in the half.
First down.
Two receivers out wide to the right side. Snavely, high snap, hands it off to Fox. Goes right up the middle and gets the touchdown. Brady Fox, a 9-yard touchdown run, his second of the game. And it is 20-8 Middletown.
High snap. He gave that little hesitation way to Snavely. Had to jump up, pull it down. Immediately got it into his gut. Followed the blocking in. Now the Raiders are starting to slowly take control of things.
Donovan Brady in for the extra point. Snap, hold, kick on the way. It is good. We'll take timeout again. 1:17 left to play in the first half. It's Middletown 21, Littlestown 8. Back after this on the Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home, Blue Raider Sports Network.
JD's Junction is a proud Middletown Blue Raider sponsor. JD's Junction, located on Mill Street across from the train station, Joe and his staff is serving up lunch and dinner daily, made fresh, like sandwiches, soups, steaks, and seafood. You can also dine outside on their patio. Monday night is trivia night. Wednesday night is all-you-can-eat wing night. Takeout is available at 616-8952. That's JD's Junction in Middletown.
Now the Raiders tack another touchdown on here before halftime as it is 21-8 in favor of Middletown. And really, the thing that set that up was Michael Lippe, the head coach of Littlestown, deciding to go for it on his own 45-yard line on a 4th and 2. Run gets snuffed, and Middletown takes over at the 43-yard line and has a short field, 43-yard drive. 9 plays, 2 minutes, 55 seconds. And Brady Fox cashes in with the 9-yard touchdown run. So here's the kickoff by Brady. Story catches it at the 3-yard line. Story to the 15, to the 20, and he is going to be dropped at the 23-yard line.
Well, Littlestown still has to be happy with where they are in this game. They've been playing tough. They were able to get a long drive on the board at one point. They've had a couple of nice fourth down stops on Middletown at times, and they're causing Middletown to make mistakes. You know, they've got to be happy. They're down 21-8. They're still in this football game, but slowly they see Middletown taking control.
Nibble will be under center here. Three receivers to the left side, one to the right. Last-minute instructions here from the official, or from the coaches on the side. It's going to be a lobbed pass looking to get it to Barthel, and McCoy was there and slowed him up a bit. Incomplete.
Well, now with a minute seven to go and throw an incomplete pass, and now you got to start thinking, you know, do you want to try to get the football back one more time or not? I guess it's going to depend on what they do on this player now, but Middletown does have two timeouts remaining.
Yeah. Second down and 10. For the Bolts at their own 22-yard line, trailing 21-8 here with 107 left to play in the half. Two receivers to either side. Noble will be under center. Matthews is the running back in the backfield. It's going to be a handoff to Matthews, and that did not fool Middletown. Goes right up the middle. Picks up 3 yards out to the 25, and there's the timeout by Middletown.
Yep, and they stopped the clock with a minute to go, so that's what they're thinking. I think they want to make this stop. Try to get it back one more time because they know that they have that quick play explosiveness with a few quick runs or a quick pass or deep post to Mills. And we know that we've been able to see them score that quickly in the past. And of course, we're getting other scores now.
All right, let's look at the scoreboard while we have a quick shot here. 6A, you know, CD over Manheim Township, 14-7. These are all second quarter. Except for this next one, Cumberland Valley leads Warwick 14-7 at halftime. Wilson leads Central York 28-9. CD East leads Red Lion 13-7. 5A, top half of the bracket, Governor Mifflin over Waynesboro 21-0. Harrisburg leads Exeter 6-0. On the bottom half, look at this matchup, Manheim Central and Cedar Cliff.
Wow.
They are tied at 3. And Cocalico leads Northeastern York 17-7. 4A, Berks Catholic. Second quarter, 49-0 over East Pennsboro. LS over York Suburban, 21-0. Northern leads Shippensburg, 17-14. And McDevitt leads Milton Hershey, 14-7. Pitch goes to Matthews, trying to get to the far sideline, and nothing doing there. He's going to be stopped for no gain, and a timeout again by Middletown.
That Milton Hershey game is McDevitt now 21, Milton Hershey 13, with 3 minutes remaining.
So Middletown calls the timeout here, and going to try to get the football back here. And when you got a punt return guy like Mills, you might as well make him kick. And you got 54 seconds left.
That's right. Don't be satisfied with the 21-8 score at halftime. And coach isn't. He, you know, he wants to use this clock to his benefit any way he can. And 20 seconds, we know Middletown could score. Now, we remind you, we've got LVC football for you tomorrow. LVC and Albright, final game of the season for them, or at least for LVC. Always a big rivalry there. We'll be on the air at 12:45.
And Albright is actually the location of the other AAA game because Wyomissing doesn't play home Friday night games.
Great stadium to play at.
Yeah, they are leading now 10-0 over Bermudian Springs in the second. There's the snap. Corbin Brown will get an ugly end-over-end kick, and it's going to roll to a stop at the 47-yard line of Middletown. So the Raiders got 47 seconds on the clock here to go 47 yards.
And they can do that, but again, this Littlestown defense has been making some great reads on what Middletown is doing. And can you imagine if Middletown had not jumped offside on that one play? Littlestown would have had a pick six.
Well, that is the biggest play of the first half.
Yeah, it really is.
For sure, because that was 6 points the other way. Uh-huh. There we go, three receivers to the right, one to the left. Snavely, back to pass. Will throw deep down the middle. It's caught. Leach, 20-yard line. He's brought down, and a first down for Middletown.
They're going to run that two-minute offense real quickly. It stops the clock with 42 seconds as they quickly hurry all the way back down to the 19-yard line. So another first down for Middletown. They'll restart the clock. No timeouts for Middletown.
28 yards on that gain. Play fake. It's going to be a throwback to Fox in the backfield. Flag is thrown. This is going to be a block in the back.
That's got to be Tom Staker for holding. He all but mugged his man.
Flag on the play.
And it was too easy to be seen. On the far side, it stops the clock with 30 seconds.
Stops the clock momentarily.
Right.
Against Middletown.
So they better get ready to line up here and get this play off quickly.
The ball's moved back to the 29-yard line, where it will remain first down.
Okay, first, with slots both sides.
First and 20. 30 seconds on the clock here. Yep, slot both sides. Snavely with Thompson in the backfield. There's the snap. Snavely has time now. He's going to have to run. Throws on the run. Is caught. That is Malik Noon, and nobody is on him for the touchdown.
All the Thunderbolts are all looking at each other. Whose man was that? We forgot about Noon.
Malik Noon.
I'm looking at Brown, and I'm looking at Weaver. And then you got Maury back there, and they're all just kind of shrugging their shoulders at each other, like, where was he? And that, folks, is why Middletown wanted the football back with a minute to go.
Absolutely. Brady in for another PAT, trying to make it a 20-point game. There's the snap. Hold. Kick. Up. And good. Timeout. 22 seconds left to play in the first half. It is Middletown 28, Littlestown 8. Back after this on the Fager Finger Bounder Funeral Home, Blue Raider Sports Network.
Gingrich Memorials of Middletown is proud to support Blue Raider athletics and academics. The Gingrich family have been in business since 1921. They have their own art staff and in-house laser that can etch photographs or images onto granite. They also do statues, head markers, vases, benches, and monuments. Gingrich Memorials wish the Blue Raiders good luck during the season.
Seconds left in the first half. Middletown takes a 20-point lead here, 28-8.
Back receiver
Littletown, number 23, Raiders off to a slow start in this game, but they have started to pick it up here. And again, I get the feeling they'll get a little kick in the rear end at halftime, and we'll see less mistakes in the third quarter and even more domination.
Here's the kickoff from Brady. Nice kick. It's going to sail into the end zone for a touchback.
46 degrees out there. It's crispy, but, man, that ball just sailed. Not much of a breeze either. It was windy earlier today, but the wind has settled down. He does have the wind to his back. That was all foot there.
Lowly placed at the 20-yard line. Well, the Littlestown.
Littlestown might be kicking themselves a little bit because it's almost as if they just put the tail between the legs on that last drive and kind of just coyly wanted to get it to halftime, I think. And then Middletown used their timeouts, and they really couldn't do anything. Handoff goes to Matthews here on first down. He's going to get to the 25-yard line. Middletown will give up the 5 yards with no problem here.
Number 42, Andrew.
I get the feeling Littlestown will just let it keep on ticking away.
Yep.
I think they now are starting to realize what they're up against, and they're able to take advantage of some things early on, but it's slipping away.
Well, we have reached halftime. Our score at the half, it is Middletown 28, Littlestown 8. Back with the halftime show after this here on the Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home, Blue Raider Sports Network.
The Middletown Home, serving the community since 1875, is a continuing care retirement community. The Middletown Home provides intensive rehabilitation therapy for folks recovering from hospitalization, as well as personal care and independent living apartments. The Middletown Home, serving from the heart in the spirit of friendship, love, and truth. For more information, their number is 944-3351. The Middletown Home, where they serve from the heart.
With kids in mind, Custom Apparel and Accessories does embroidery, heat press, screen printing, and vinyl. They're your home for your school and sports spirit wear. Whether it's a team, group, business, or personal need, no order is too small. With kids in mind, Custom Apparel and Accessories is located at 301 North Union Street in Middletown. Their number is 388-1948. With kids in mind, for the kid in all of us. With kids in mind, Custom Apparel and Accessories does embroidery, heat press, screen printing, and vinyl. They're your home for your school and sports spirit wear. Whether it's a team, group, business, or personal need, no order is too small. With kids in mind, Custom Apparel and Accessories is located at 301 North Union Street in Middletown. Their number is 388-1948. With kids in mind, for the kid in all of us.
J&J Pizza and Family Restaurant of Middletown is a proud supporter of the Blue Raiders. J&J Pizza and Family Restaurant is open for lunch and dinner daily, a late night bite or carry out. Pizza, subs, strombolis, salads, burgers or fries, it's J&J Pizza and Family Restaurant, East Main Street in Middletown, 944-1313.
Solving problems, pushing boundaries, creating solutions. It's what we've been doing for 30 years and what continues to make us different every day. We are DHL Supply Chain, formerly XL. DHL Supply Chain designs and implements innovative contract logistics solutions for market-leading companies in a wide range of industries. We develop and sustain partnerships that deliver true value and thought leadership to make your business more competitive. We're DHL Supply Chain.
Tim Clouser of RE/MAX Realty Select is a proud supporter of the Blue Raiders. Serving the Middletown area for over 30 years, Tim knows how to move Middletown properties. Thinking of buying or selling, Tim Clouser and RE/MAX Realty Select, located at 250 East Park Drive near the Home Depot, can handle all of your real estate needs. That's Tim Clouser, RE/MAX Realty Select at 526-4300 or online at timclouser.com.
Number one station for high school sports coverage in Central PA is WMSS Middletown, Super 91.
Welcome back. We are at halftime here at Middletown's War Memorial Field. CB John Wilsbach, 28-8, Middletown with the lead over Littlestown, in a game that where Littlestown came out, got a stiff jab off against Middletown, hit him square in the mouth in the first quarter, but Middletown eventually got the offense going, defense got a couple stops, and gets a 20-point lead here into halftime.
They settled down, but they're still making mistakes.
Yeah.
A lot of penalties, a lot of stupid penalties that are costing them, and probably also some missed assignments down on the line, not allowing Thompson to get much running in this game. Brady Fox has certainly picked up his end. And you can only stop so far this offense. If you're going to stop Thompson, then you better expect that, you know, Brady Fox is going to get you stop one of those guys. Mills is going to get the passing game is going to open up, and that's what Middletown eventually did despite all of their mistakes. But you've got to give Littlestown credit. You're right, they came out, they took a couple good punches right to the gut to Middletown and kind of shut them down there a few times. And Middletown was their own worst enemy early on, but they have since gotten back into this game. You know, it's an undefeated team. It's been a great season, Steve, here in 2016. We haven't had that undefeated season since we had the game last week, talked about the 2000 year and before that and so many others. Our good friend Bob Kaler emailed me this week, and you know, he listens to the broadcast a lot, and we were correct. We were talking. We weren't sure what one of the coaches was back there in 49, and it was John Yavison. So he was the one back then, and had some guys back then. Don Fisher, Jim Swartz was the quarterback. Don Fisher, Don Campbell as running backs. Nick and Don Schaefer were twins who played as the tight ends, and also Bob Reed. Back then, former mayor of Middletown, Glenn Solomon, Dr. Henderson, as we know him here in town, Ben and Phil Dodson, Clarence Condren. So there's some great names from that first team back then. Donnie Shelp back in 71, quarterback with Mike and Mitch Schwartz. Remember them? Also had Wirt running back, a sophomore just starting out by a guy named Earl Brown was on that team. And, of course, we know, you know, more of the modern years and the Middletown teams. Who else did he mention to me here? I'm just going back through some of these emails and talking with him. But, yeah, remember that 48-49 was here the first year, the War Memorial. And Just some good memories of, you know, some of those teams back in those days for the Middletown Blue Raiders. Ray Ryder was a lineman back then. Remember, he later became a Middletown coach. Manny Weaver was a coach here for Middletown. Went on to Harrisburg later on. So some good memories there brought back by Bob Keller. We thank him for that. I was talking a little bit today with Scott Strohecker. Remember that 88 football team? They lost one game, but went on all the way to Eastern Championship to play Berwick and lost against Berwick. And, you know, I asked him, I said, what's the comparison here? I said, you know, a lot of people are saying, including us, you know, they see this team like the 88, can go far, maybe go all the way, who knows? And he wanted to start trying to do a little, well, our team versus this current team. And if you look at it, it really is kind of unfair in some ways because the numbers of Middletown back then were probably higher than what they are now in the school district. And the other thing was the regular season competition and the schedule, you know, playing the McDevitts and Central Dolphins and Redlands, Mechanicsburgs and teams like that, whereas now the schedule's been downgraded a little bit only because the numbers and participants for Middletown, the male enrollment, I should say, is lower than back at that team. But he's rooting for the Raiders as well. Dad Irv Strohecker, former athletic director, talked to him today briefly. Just had a knee replacement. So, Irv, hope you're doing well. I think he's right here at the back of the stadium. I think he goes up on his roof and sits on the roof and watches
the
game.
Like the Cubs, you know, the back of Wrigley Field. They have the stands right up on the rooftops there.
I don't think he's up right now. I think he's in a little pain. So we wish him well. Give him a speedy recovery. Well, maybe we can go out now and candy corn his house and quick run. He's not going to catch you. Well, we have the small Littlestown band here playing. Actually, I think they're smaller than the Steel High band.
Yeah, they're not very many. I can probably count them here at about 16, 17 guys in the band.
Steel High made the playoffs, and they made the playoffs against Halifax last week, thanks in part to Littlestown beating Fairfield. So Rollers are playing at Boiling Springs tomorrow.
Yeah,
for some reason, I was thinking that was next week. But.
Yeah, no, I think it's 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. The 2A game is tomorrow at 6 o'clock, and that is York Catholic and Newport. And really, and Camp Hill kind of got hosed in the whole ordeal because I think Camp Hill might be the best 2A team, but because only two teams get in.
Yeah.
Camp Hill left out. I believe they were 7-3 on the year.
You're right.
But Bill Williams, he has had a great career at Camp Hill. But unfortunately, they did not qualify. And it's always good to see, you know, other mid-Penn Capital teams now have success in the playoffs. So, you know, Steel High is in there. You have Milton Hershey holding their own here tonight against McDevitts. 21-13 is the last score we have in that game. East Pennsboro, they're getting thumped. 49-6. At least they have got a touchdown on the board. Palmyra just missed the playoffs.
Yes, they did.
I believe they were ninth. So they just missed on the 5A playoffs. But
that is what, like some hundredths of a percentage point.
Yeah, they were razor close in this crazy system they have. But it's, yeah, some people give it a little bit of crap for all the stuff you have to figure out to try to, you know, find out who's gonna make it on that last week. But it's a fair system, I think. It takes into account your wins and the strength of your schedule, and there's really, you know, no better way to do it. I remember back in the 80s, early 90s, we had the Sailor system, which was, it was all or nothing on your game.
It sure was.
And you had to schedule the higher classification teams to get the points, and, you know, now that's kind of thrown out. And it was also at a time where there was only four teams that made the playoffs in every classification. And
that hurt us in 87 because we started slow start, finished super strong, but only four teams got to go, and we just missed making the 87 playoffs and could have probably done some damage that year. I was texting a little bit with Dennis Etze today, and hopefully we'll get him if he is at one of the upcoming games here. He is obviously close with one of his former players, Brett Myers, and we'll hopefully get him here on the radio in the postseason at some point. And we are at halftime. We'll step out at the half. Middletown 28, Littlestown 8. It's the District 3 playoffs here on the Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home, Blue Raider Sports Network.
The Brownstone Cafe cooks up homestyle meals in a relaxed atmosphere. The Brownstone Cafe has a variety of daily specials, and their menu is filled with a wide selection of pastas, steaks, seafood, soups, and desserts. The Brownstone Cafe is open for breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, and their staff wishes the Raiders good luck during the season. The Brownstone Cafe in downtown Middletown, open Monday through Saturday, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., Sundays 8 to 8.
Jack's Auto Sales is a family-owned business since 1986. Jack's Auto Sales deals in used cars and trucks. They also have a five-bay repair garage, offering engine work, brakes, exhaust, front-end alignment, and tires. Open Monday through Friday from 7:30 a.m. till 5:30 p.m., Saturdays 9 to 12, or by appointment. That's Jack's Auto Sales, 2189 West Harrisburg Pike, on Route 230 in Middletown. Their number is 944-7363, or online at www.jacksautosales.net.
A family-owned business for over 150 years, it's the Press and Journal. If it involves the Middletown area, you'll find it each week in the Journal. Each week, the Press and Journal keeps you informed about the latest happenings, ranging from sports to local government, school board meetings, and police news, from entertaining feature stories to thought-provoking editorials, and their sound-off. The Press and Journal is available at newsstands or by subscription. And now you can get an electronic edition right on your computer. For subscription information, their number is 944-4628, or find them online at pressandjournal.com. The Press and Journal will keep...
C&E Lawn Care and Landscaping can handle all of your lawn care needs. They do mowing, landscaping, full tree service, snow removal, and so much more. And they're now accepting new commercial and residential customers for next year. C&E Lawn Care and Landscaping. Anything under the sun can be done. That's C&E Lawn Care and Landscaping. 982-0701. That's 982-0701. PA 853-97.
Black Horse Tavern is under new management. Open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner, the Black Horse Tavern has all-you-can-eat crab legs on Tuesdays, tacos and trivia on Thursday nights, and steak for two on Saturday nights. They also have the NFL ticket and all-day game specials on Saturdays and Sundays. Carryout is available, and they have private rooms for special occasions. That's the Black Horse Tavern, located at the corner of Main and Pine Streets in Middletown.
The new S&H Screen Printing and Awards, formerly Hughes Awards and Triple S Screen Printing, have combined forces to bring the Middletown area quality and service with their own in-house screen printing, awards, trophies, and promotional products. They have two locations to serve you, 6 West Main Street, Hummelstown, and 3300 East Harrisburg Pike, Middletown. Their number is 944-6680 or 566-0245. That's S&H Screen Printing and Awards.
The Hetrick Center, proudly serving Middletown since 1979. Specializing in musculoskeletal and neurological conditions, the Hetrick Center has chiropractic, physical therapy, aquatic therapy, and massage from a team of non-surgical specialists collaborating for the patient's benefit. They accept most major insurances and are home of the HydroWorks aquatic therapy pools. They have offices in Mechanicsburg, Mount Joy, Harrisburg, and Middletown. The Hetrick Center, moving you in the right direction.
Welcome back to War Memorial Field. We are at halftime, and Middletown leads Littlestown by a score of 28-8. Let's look at the halftime statistics. Leading rusher for the Bolts in the first half was Andrew Matthews. He had 8 carries, 38 yards. Corbin Brown, 1 for 4. Dylan Morey, 1 carry, 2 yards. And Wes Story, the main running back for this team, 5 carries for minus 5 yards. Receiving, Tyler Barthel, 5 catches for 38 yards. Andrew Matthews, 1 for 10. Wes Story caught one pass. That was for no gain. Tanner Noble, the quarterback, 7 for 12, 48 yards. Did throw one interception in the first half of play. Team totals for Littlestown, 15 carries, 39 yards on the ground, 48 through the air. 87 yards of total offense for Littlestown in the first half. 64 of that came on their touchdown drive in the first quarter. For Middletown, leading rusher Brady Fox. He goes over the 1,000-yard mark for the season. 9 carries, 110 yards, and 2 touchdowns in the first half. Jalen Thompson, 9 carries, 42 yards. Chase Navely, 2 for 3 and a touchdown. Trey Leach ran the ball 1 time for 3 yards. Receiving, Tyre Mills, 2 catches, 28 yards. Jalen Thompson, 1 for 15. Trey Leach, 1 for 28. Chris Plummer, 1 for 8. Malik Noon, 1 catch, 29 yards. That was good for a touchdown. Chase Snavely, 6 for 11, 108 yards, and had that touchdown pass. Team totals for Middletown on the ground, 21 for 158, 108 through the air, 266 yards of total offense for the Raiders. Scoring recap, Brady Fox got it underway with a 62-yard touchdown run. Next point made it 7-0. Almost 4 minutes into the game. Then Middletown went on a long drive downfield, and a 14-play drive took over 7 minutes off the clock, and Andrew Matthews capped it off with a 10-yard touchdown run. Penalty on Middletown before the extra point, after the play, after the scoring play, put it to the 1 on the extra point. They decided to go for 2, and West Story ran it in. So Middletown led 8-7 after 1, but then Middletown responded in the second quarter with 3 touchdowns and 3 extra points from Brady. Chase Snavely, a 1-yard run. Brady Fox, a 9-yard run. And Malik Noon, a 29-yard touchdown pass there at the very end of the half, where Middletown got the football back after Middletown's second touchdown of the quarter with about a minute 20 left. And just coyly tried to get it to halftime, but Middletown had 2 timeouts in the pocket, and they used them, got the football back, and Malik Noon was wide open down the right side and gets the touchdown with about 22 seconds left. And Middletown takes a 20-point lead here into the second half. The Raiders will kick off to Littlestown here to get the third quarter underway.
I don't think there was any panic in the locker room at halftime, but I'm sure the coaches, you know, sized up all the deficiencies, the mistakes, and everything that needs to be improved here for the second half.
The Raiders are set to kick it off here as Brady will put the boot to it, and it's a low kick taken by one of the up guys for, that's going to be Barthel, the receiver, and he's going to be upended at the 25-yard line, taken down, and the Middletown offense will take the field here with just 6 seconds going here in the second half, 28-8. Middletown up by 20.
And they started finding their groove late in that second quarter as well. They started tightening things up defensively. They started getting that offense going better and better.
By the way, 17-0 now the score down at Albright. Wyomissing leading Bermudian. Story goes in motion. It's going to be a quick throwback. That's going to be a lateral to Story, and he's going to be cut down after a gain of maybe 3 yards.
And Story hasn't gotten that much around the outside tonight. You know, we preface that at the onset of things that, you know, that's his game. Quick pitches, and the sweeps. And Middletown, for the most part, has done a good job of shutting that down.
I called that one a run because that was definitely a lateral pass. Second down and 7. Going to be a quick pass. They try the flanker screen. The screen is not there. And it's going to be Zach Lanning getting the catch, but it is going to be LaRon Woody making the stop. And loss of 2.
And how often have we seen that out of Woody this season on passes like that? Or flanker screens, things like that, able to get in there. Whenever they send him on the blitz, able to run down someone in the backfield. Great speed by this kid, and he's done a great job.
Third down and 9 at the 27-yard line. 4 receivers to the left side. They're going to look right side, and it's going to be well overthrown. They were looking to get it to Barthel, who was lined up all by himself over there, but it was overthrown. McCoy was there on the coverage anyway, and incomplete. Middletown has to punt it away.
Now, Noble had to get rid of it. He had the blitz coming in on him as soon as he got the snap, just one of those 2-step drops, and just try to let it fly. And as he did that, was planting, he knew he had to start throwing because Raiders were already coming in on the side. Just put it out there too far for Barthel.
We will look at the scoreboard here following the punt, unless something crazy happens. There's the snap, and it's the best-looking punt of the game by Corbin Brown. Mills is going to let it go, and it's going to be down by Littlestown at their own 39-yard line. Okay, quick update on the scoreboard. 6A. We have Central Dauphin leading Manheim Township 28-7 at halftime. Opposite of them is Cumberland Valley leading Warwick 14-7 in the third. Second quarter, Wilson is dismantling Central York 42-9. CD East leads Red Lion 13-7 at half. 5A, we have Mifflin leading Waynesboro 28-0 at halftime. Harrisburg leads Exeter 20-3. Also at the half, Cedar Cliff leading Manheim Central now 17-3. Third quarter, Cocalico leads Northeastern 17-10. First and 10 here for the Raiders at their own 39. Snavely, quick throw. They're hit Tyre Mills on the slant. It's going to be good for about 8 yards. It'll be second and 2.
But again, he's lining up real far out there, and it's a slant, but not a tight slant. And I get scared because that ball's taking a long path, and, you know, almost to the point where a defender can jump in front like we saw earlier in the game, but that was certainly a different pass play.
Second down and 2 for Middletown at their own 47. Handoff, Fox up the middle. Big hole, midfield, 40, and he's going to be run down finally at the 34-yard line of Littlestown. That was just a big hole quickly taken up the middle by Fox.
Fox has certainly been carrying the running load tonight. How many games have we seen this season where it's one game Thompson, one game Fox, one game Thompson? These guys complement each other. When Thompson broke the record at Milton Hershey, everybody waited out underneath the arena. As soon as they came off, Fox was the first one there to greet them. They complement each other, and Fox is back next season as Thompson graduates after this year.
First down and 10 for Middletown. Handoff going to go to Thompson. Breaks it to the right side. Flag is thrown behind the play. Thompson is going to make it into the end zone, but this is probably going to come back.
And they already indicate the hold once again. And tell you, now it's starting to get a little outrageous. You got to start wondering, all right, what's going on here? Because uncharacteristic, these types of mistakes by Middletown. And the second time in this game where Thompson should have had a touchdown.
The penalty is
one was on his own mistake, a tripping over his own foot, but this time on another hold.
The ball has moved back to the 39-yard line.
But it's odd because it's so quick off the snap that he's past the line that you wonder, how do you get a hold determined in 1 second?
The hold was 5 yards down the field, so it's a first and 15 now. Lopez comes in motion, handoff underneath to Fox, tries to get to the outside, and he is going to be ripped down close to the, what was the original line of scrimmage, so he got about 5 yards. We'll call it just 4, make it second and 11.
He's brought down at the 34.
I really do like how, you know, in these recent years, how the District 3 has gone to playing the home game. Playoff games. We'll talk about that here briefly, but yeah, it's nice to have a playoff game on your own home turf.
There's too many now to try to come up with a neutral location.
Yeah, and a lot of schools don't want to host.
Second down 11, handoff goes to Fox up the middle, trying to break a tackle and pushes forward, gets to the 30-yard line.
Number 34.
It's going to be a gain of 5, calling down to 29.
Now you look back at those years, and Middletown had played Central York in 84 at Mechanicsburg. He played Conestoga Valley at Palmyra in 86. And it's nice when you get the home one because you do benefit from tickets and ticket sales that way.
Third down and 6. Slot to the right, wide left. Middletown leads here 28-8. 8:20 left to play in the third quarter. This is a District 3 Triple A semifinal game. Again, winner plays next Thursday night at Hershey Park Stadium. Handoff goes to Thompson, trying to get to the sideline, gets the cut, and a first down, and out of bounds inside the 20.
Blake Noon doing a nice job sealing that side off for him to get around. Keeping just enough room.
Another flag against Middletown.
Well, I guess he may have been the one caught on that. I thought he was doing a nice job sealing it off. He looks very despondent in the huddle right now. This crowd is starting to get a little angry. What are they up to now? 80? 75, 80 penalty yards?
I think 95.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't think I marked the last one down. So now third and 15. Football back to the 38-yard line. Two receivers to the right, one to the left. Leach comes in motion. Play fake. Snavely looking to throw, looking deep down the middle. Leach is open, but he just overthrew it a little too far. And incomplete.
Just a few inches. Really, that's all it was. Leach slightly in motion on the near side. Only taking a few steps. I get that deep post pattern. How often has that been open this season? You know, for a quarterback, it's nice because you're sitting in that pocket and you've got just that nice straight throw right down the middle. That time, just a few inches off.
Fourth down and 15. The offense on the field here. Three receivers left. Plummer's to the right side. Thompson in the backfield with Snavely. They're changing up play call here a little bit. Snavely takes the snap. Looking deep down the middle. It is caught. Leach got it this time, and it's going to be a first down inside the 20-yard line.
Right down that middle again. And great job by Leach. We've seen him make a couple catches in this game, and as he catches it, he's getting plastered hard, hit hard by one or two players every time, holding onto the football. And that's been something very distinctive about all these receivers this season by Middletown. You don't see too many drops. And you see them holding on to that football well after getting hit hard. Now we've got a flag on the near side. And Brett Myers is furious. The official right in front of him threw the flag. So will it be a sideline warning?
That's a legal substitution. 5-yard penalty.
Absolutely livid.
Where remains first down.
Despite being up 28-8 midway through the third quarter, the fact that so many different things keep going against the Raiders in this contest.
It's going to be a first and 15 now, back to the 22-yard line.
I wouldn't want to be that official right down there in front of him right now. He's getting an earful.
Slide to the right side. High snap, handed off to Thompson, trying to push up the middle, but Middletown did well defending at that time. Only a gain of a yard to the 21.
We've got football for you tomorrow afternoon. LVC hosting Albright at Arnold Field in Anvil, 12:45 of the airtime. Kickoff at 1 o'clock on WMSS and WMSSFM.com. You can even watch the game at GoDutchman.com.
Big rivalry between those two schools. Second down and 14 here. Slot right, wide left. Leach goes in motion. Play fake. Snavely down the middle. Leach is wide open. Touchdown. Middletown, a 21-yard touchdown pass from Snavely to Leach.
He got in the area there between Brown and Morey. Wide open. Slow start, Steve. But now they're starting to turn it on, 34-8. I think the penalties are making a little angrier, too.
Yeah, they're doing it in spite of all the penalties. You just back them up, just makes the scoring plays longer.
Get more yardage.
Makes the first downs longer. There's the snap, the hold, the kick is up. And good by Brady. We'll take timeout. 6:31 left to play in the third quarter. It's Middletown 35, Littlestown 8. Back after this with the Faker Finkenbeiner Funeral Home Blue Raiders Sports Network.
Jim Siebert's Garage salutes the Steel High Rollers. Jim Siebert is an ASE certified master technician. At Jim Siebert's Garage, they do state inspections with emissions testing, oil changes, air conditioning, tune-ups, batteries, and tires. Jim Siebert's Garage also has small engine repair for your lawnmower, tractor, or snowblower. Siebert's is located just outside Steelton at 1649 South Cameron Street. It's Jim Siebert's Garage, open Monday through Friday. Their number is 234-1725.
Welcome back to War Memorial Field here in Middletown.
Wesley Story.
It is 35-8 in favor of the Blue Raiders. Our last drive, 8 plays, 61 yards. Took somewhere between 4 minutes and 5 minutes. I didn't write it down, so couldn't really figure that out, but that's okay. Kickoff taken at the 10-yard line. That is by Brown. He'll go up the middle, 20, 25, and tackled short of the 30-yard line.
Hey, if you've been out to the new Middletown High School, you may have noticed those big, giant Blue Raider pictures on the front of the building, the back side of the building. And then you may have noticed now they're gone. So when they got those, they weren't done by the manufacturer correctly with the coloring, the cutting out of the character of the Raider and the horse and so on. So they have been removed temporarily. And those, of course, were gifts from the Alumni Association. So they're getting those fixed, getting them redone, and they'll be put back up when finished.
First down and 10. Handoff goes up the middle, and that is going to be Story with the carry. His best run of the game gets about 6 yards. I think it would be a much better idea, I think, to just tell after tonight's over, Middletown wins, why I'm missing wins. Just tell everybody that why I'm missing players came and stole them.
That would be good. Like the old days of stealing the mascot from the opposing team and keeping their goat or whatever it would have been.
Second down and 4, slot left, wide right. Noble have both come in the backfield, but it's going to be a handoff again to Story looking for some room. Not much. Gets only a yard out to the 35.
Now, I think Middletown would have loved to have had a mascot like that for years, but no one could ever find a three-legged horse anywhere. That was always the joke. When you look at that picture and you see the horse moving, you really never see that fourth leg on it in the trot.
Where it'll be third down.
So we always called it the three-legged horse. Take a closer look. I don't think a lot of people have ever realized that.
No. Can't say that I noticed that.
I'll show it to you next time we're at the middle school.
All right, third down and 3.
They've got one on the wall in there.
Split backfield, fake the pitch, hand off up the middle, and that's going to be Matthews. He gets a first down up to the 45-yard line, a gain of 10
Andrew Matthews.
He's been the guy doing the damage tonight for Littlestown, what they have been able to do on the ground.
Yeah, because I think that the Raiders have been concentrating so much on Story that... You know, when they do give to Matthews, most times up the middle, he's finding something. Raiders are ready to converge to the outside, you know, cut down the edge and around the end, and all of a sudden something opens up in the middle for him.
By the way, Wyomissing now up 24-0 on Bermudian Springs.
Yeah. It's going to be a good battle next week.
Yeah. High backfield, pitch, Story. Gets through the line. He's off to the races, 30. 20, and Mills is going to run him down and take him out of bounds.
Number 23.
But a good run by Story. And it's going to be a first down and goal down at the 10-yard line.
Got through that line, and no one was around him. Quickly cut it over to the right side. He got some good blocking up front. In fact, I'm watching as Griffin Rattleball gets back down the field. He's got... I think a big old plug of dirt right in his face mask. He still can't get it out of his face mask.
He ain't coming out, that's for sure. First down and goal at the 10. Pitch, Story tries to cut back, and he's going to get hit by LaRon Woody and only gain a yard or two.
Actually, it was Bobby Graham, not Griffin Rattabaugh. Graham is on the sideline trying to clean out the helmet.
He stopped at the 8-yard line, where it'll be second and goal.
Second and goal at the 8.
Well, they're putting a little drive here together once again. We saw them do that in the first quarter.
And here it'll be second and goal. Two receivers to the right side, one to the left, split backfield. Noble. Going to be a pitch to Barthel. Trying to make a cut. Now he'll get to the 6-yard line. Mills was one of the guys in on the tackle. Gain of 2 on the run for Tyler Barthel.
Hey, he needed the defensive secondary to come up and make these stops.
Brought down by number 14.
There's a lot of penetration up the middle. Good blocking, the good flow blocking to the near side.
At the 6-yard line, where it'll be third and goal.
But they're certainly using a lot of clock in all of this as well. They need quicker scores if they're going to get back in this game.
Yeah, no doubt. High backfield here on third and goal at the 6. Story is the deep man. He'll get the give. Going left. Touchdown. 6-yard touchdown run for Wes Story. And it is 35-14.
Number 23, Wesley Story with the carry. Touchdown, Littlestown.
Good run. Had a lot of room on that left side. No one able to get to him in time. Littlestown shows that they're not going to lay down in this one. They're trying to fight back. We haven't seen many games this season where Middletown's first unit has had to stay in all fourth quarters, but they're in a game tonight, and they're not going to have that mercy rule in here as I kind of thought they would at this point in the game. Give the Bolts a lot of credit.
Jollickson in for the extra point. Got to make it a 20-point game. There's the snap, the hold. The kick is ugly and no good. Missed it to the left. So we'll take timeout. 2:58 left to play in the third quarter. It's Middletown 35, Littlestown 14. Back after this on the Fager Finkelbeiner Funeral Home, Blue Raiders Sports Network.
Jim Siebert's Garage salutes the Steel High Rollers. Jim Siebert is an ASE certified master technician. At Jim Siebert's Garage, they do state inspections with emissions testing, oil changes, air conditioning, tune-ups, batteries, and tires. Jim Siebert's Garage also has small engine repair for your lawnmower, tractor, or snowblower. Siebert's is located just outside Steelton at 1649 South Cameron Street. It's Jim Siebert's Garage. Open Monday through Friday. Their number is 234-1725.
2:58 to go in the third quarter. Littlestown pulls one back, and Middletown still leads 35-14.
We welcome our friends at Siebert's Garage along tonight as a sponsor of this game. Normally with us for Steel High in football and basketball, but they also appreciate the Middletown Blue Raiders located up there just to get at the west end of Steel, right on 230. And with winter right around the corner, man, good time to take the snowblower to him, get it tuned up, ready to go.
I don't want to think about snow.
No, me either.
I hate snow.
I hate it, too.
Onside kick attempt. It is going to go, out of bounds. Yeah, it goes out of bounds. It doesn't even go 10 yards.
Almost looked like it was going to bounce off one of the Bolt players. Well, at least he... It was an ugly onside kick. At least it wasn't as ugly as the guy from the Steelers last weekend who kind of did that little Irish jig with a back foot attempt and hit his own leg. And oh, that was ugly and funny.
Yeah, that was bad.
That was real bad. Those officials were all conferring, trying to figure out what exactly they wanted to make the call on. They couldn't stop laughing.
Yeah, they were definitely laughing.
Good field position at the 48 of Littlestown.
Two receivers to the right, one to the left. Snavely in the backfield. Now he'll look over to the sideline and get further instruction. Tells Jalen Thompson what's up. He'll take the snap, hand it off to Thompson. Going to the right side. Trying to get to the edge. Now cuts back, 40. Goes back to the center of the field, and he's finally going to be stopped. Well, maybe. Down to the 30-yard line. And there was a late little push. Nothing was called. Radabaugh got pushed, but Middletown fans aren't going to like it, but that was Matthew Becker from Littlestown with a little teeny shove. And there wasn't really much to it.
Well, they've had the flag thrown against Middletown so often tonight that when you get something like that, the fans want to see a makeup call or something, but they're not going to get it. A lot of yardage used up that time by Thompson, but he didn't. You know, there's a lot of east-west than north-south.
But a gain of 16 and a first down for Middletown, the Littlestown 30-yard line. Play fake, looking deep. Leach, that's play looks familiar, and Leach catches it at the 10 and going to be taken down inside the 5-yard line.
Usually it's Mills. They want to focus on Mills defensively. They put Leach down through there. When you get, if you get back and you're still playing, you get Ryan Hughes back, you got another 6'3" target out there. They had Malik Noon out there catching one earlier. So the Raiders certainly have a whole host of receivers you can throw to.
First and goal at the 3-yard line. That last play went for 27 yards. Snavely, shotgun. We've got
another flag. Now who's it going to go against? Can I make a guess?
This is something against Middletown. Oh, no, it's not. They're going to call offsides on...
Here's the sarcastic applause. Yes.
I call it first and goal at the 2.
The ball moves to the 2-yard line.
The Raiders were going to run in Justin Mayorski, but he came back out.
So it is first and goal at the 2-yard line. They're just going to try to surge this offensive line. It's going to try to get Snavely into the end zone. They just push that pile in, and that is going to be a touchdown. 2-yard touchdown run on the sneak for Chase Snavely, riding those guys up front into the end zone, and it is 41-14.
Now we're inside with the glass open just a little bit, but yet you could hear the wind blowing all of a sudden into the booth here, into my microphone. The wind all of a sudden, I think you got a little bit of a push from the wind and not the guys. That was just like rugby. They just piled up and pushed them back.
Ready in for the PAT. Snap, hold, kick, up, and good. We'll take timeout. 1:43 left to play in the third quarter. It is Middletown 42, Littlestown 14 back. After this on the Fager Finkenbinder Funeral Home, Blue Raiders Sports Network.
Fager Finkenbinder Funeral Home and Crematory is a Middletown resident-owned funeral home. Melvin Fager Jr. and Travis Finkenbinder, along with Supervisor Bethany Moley, are using technology to better serve you and your family during a time of bereavement. They can also assist with pre-planning to protect your family from unnecessary burdens. Fager Finkenbinder Funeral Home and Crematory. Keeping it local, respectful, and affordable. Fager Finkenbinder, not just another funeral home.
Wesley Story. 42-14, Middletown with the lead here with 1:43 left to play in the third quarter. Raiders on their way to the District 3 championship game next Thursday night at Hershey Park Stadium, and it's looking more and more like it's going to be Wyomissing and Middletown. Kickoff. I'm going to go into the end zone out of bounds. And tell you what, John, when I first saw the classifications, when they were announced, when you go on to the six classifications, I looked at who was in AAA, and as soon as I saw it, I said, well, that'll be Middletown and Wyomissing in the district championship game next year.
Yeah, you're right. We talked about that all off season.
I didn't really see anybody else in the 3A classification, and that's what it's going to be next Thursday night.
I remember when they initially announced the classifications, Middletown they had in 4A.
They are 4A in basketball. Handoff going to go to Story. He gets clubbed at the 23-yard line. Gain of a couple.
Yeah, but they initially announced him as 4, they showed him as 4, and then they made some adjustments and refined it a little bit and then said, nope, they're now in the 3A category.
Probably to get everything straight from down in Philly, because who knows what's going on down there all the time.
It'll be second down. Kind of wish they'd get back out of the PIAA like they were years ago.
You know, I actually had that thought this week.
Yeah.
This week, thinking about that as well. Two receivers to the left, one to the right. Quick throw. That is going to be caught by Ben Snaufer, his first catch of the day. And he's going to be tagged for a gain of 7, just short of the first down.
McCoy off him a few yards, but caught right back up. Pick him up. Put him down the carpet. 6'2 senior. But again, Snaufer has not been the main receiver they've gone to. It's mostly been
Batchel. It'll be third down.
Yeah, Barthel has he has 5 catches, 38 yards. They were going to him pretty much exclusively and having success, and really they've gotten away from it. Yeah, they've definitely gotten away from it. They were using more of a decoy. Here he goes again, running deep in the backfield. It's going to be a pitch. Story, and Story is going to be stopped for no gain, maybe loses a yard. Back to the 28.
Yeah, and right there, as you said, being used as a decoy, going running around deep in the backfield while they give it to someone else. Why are you using your main receiver as a decoy? You are hitting him early on. Go back to him.
And now, Littlestown is going to... No, they're not. It's going to be the quarter break. So we will take time out. Our score after three quarters is Middletown 42, Littlestown 14. Back with the fourth quarter after this here on the Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home Blue Raider Sports Network.
Michelle's Creations with You in Mind is getting ready to celebrate 20 years in the community. Michelle's Creations with You in Mind can handle your fall and homecoming floral needs with corsages and boutonnieres available. And Christmas flowers are just around the corner. Michelle's Creations with You in Mind is here to help your floral needs for all occasions of life. Located on Dock Street in Upper Royalton, they're open Monday through Friday from 9 to 5, Saturdays 9 to 3. Their number is 944-5425.
Middletown Pharmacy and Gift Shop is located at the Midtown Plaza, and they're a Hallmark Gold Crown store. They have 4,800 square feet of carts, collectibles, Yankee candles and gifts, and their pharmacy with people you know and trust, like Brian, Nate, or Deb. Open Monday through Friday, 9 to 8, Saturdays, 9 to 5. That's the Middletown Pharmacy and Gift Shop. Proud Blue Raider sponsors.
Welcome back to Middletown's War Memorial Field. Start of the fourth quarter here, fourth down and one, and they will try to go for it. Middletown is going to push them back. Noble tried to keep it on the keeper, and I don't think he got it.
I don't think he did either. They stood him up right at the line of scrimmage. He did not make it across that 30-yard line. And the Raiders are going to get it back quick, and we could get the mercy rule here finally early in this fourth quarter. And they give it to Middletown.
Yep, Tanner Noble unable to push the pile forward.
Result of the
and
play
that's,
is the turnover on downs.
Middletown has that luxury because they have Trey Michael, Griffin Radabaugh, Brendan Douglas, Tom Staker, and Ethan Newton. Those guys make this machine go. And they've been able to, knock on wood, stay healthy all year.
Yes.
And that's important when you have that kind of continuity on the front line all year long. Two receivers to the right side. Middletown at the Littlestown 29-yard line. Here with 11:53 to go in the fourth quarter. Handoff. That's going to go to Fox. Finds a hole. Gets to the sideline. 20. And he's finally going to be swarmed around and almost out of bounds. They were all. Everybody was going for the football. And Fox just kept the feet moving. And he got all the way down almost to the 10.
How many was he carrying? Yeah.
There's about four bolts around him.
Yeah, somebody needs to be charged bus fare on that one. The Brady bus carrying everyone. All Raiders are smelling the blood now. They're smelling that mercy. They have enjoyed mercy all season. And now we get an offside against Littlestown. Right along the near side. Yeah, you'd think they'd be used to Middletown lining up and then looking to the sideline for the call. But instead, Brandon Pittinger just decides to jump off. So now they mark it down inside the five.
It's going to be down to the four-yard line. So it's first and goal. Thompson in the backfield. Majerski's an extra blocker behind the tackle on the left side. Two receivers out to the right side of the formation. Snavely from the pistol. Hands it off. Thompson going left. Nobody there. Touchdown. JT 7 on the board here in the fourth quarter. And it is an extra point away from Mercy Rule.
They've had their fun tonight. Leach with touchdowns. Snavely, Thompson, Fox. Spread the wealth. And now they can put it into a mercy early here in the fourth.
That'll be eight of the last nine games have reached mercy rule if they can do it here. Donovan Brady, he's been perfect on the night. Snap, hold, the kick is on the way, and it is good. So we have reached the mercy rule yet again. Timeout. We'll take one as well. 11:39 left to play in the fourth quarter. It is Middletown 49, Littlestown 14. Back after this on the Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home Blue Raider Sports Network.
The Olmsted Plaza Barbershop and owner Doug Hoover have been cutting the hair of area residents for over 54 years. Most of the old plaza has been torn down, but the Olmsted Plaza Barbershop is still standing. Open Monday through Thursday, 8 a.m. to 6:30 p.m., Friday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. That's the Olmsted Plaza Barbershop, proud Blue Raider sponsor.
Now the Raiders enact the mercy rule here as as they take a 5-touchdown lead, 49-14. And now the only thing we'll have to figure out here tonight is the final score of this game. Middletown's going to win it, and it looks very much like it's going to be Middletown and Wyomissing next Thursday night. Wyomissing up 24-0 at Shirk Stadium on the campus of Albright College in Reading.
We love doing games there.
Yeah, that's a great field. Great facility. Kickoff from Brady bounces around, and it's still bouncing. Picked up by Story at the 18-yard line. Goes up the middle, and finally around Woody is going to throw him down at the 32-yard line.
Now, we're glad you've joined us this season here on WMSS for Middletown Football. We've got LD football for you this year, and of course, we have for you Central Dolphin football on our alternate stream in the playoffs. So as you listen to us on WMSSFM.com on the main stream, the alternate stream, Central Dolphin. If you have the smartphone and you got the TuneIn app, you can listen to us there as well. Now remember, you can click either stream on there. So there are two streams on the TuneIn app for WMSS.
Quick pass, and it is almost intercepted over on the left side. That was that McCoy who jumped the route and tried to pick it off.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was they were intending it for Barthel again.
He smelled the pick six. A little bump there, going for the ball. Unable to hold on to it.
Second down and 10 here for the Thunderbolts. High backfield, wide to either side. Noble under center. Going to pitch it. That is to Matthews. And that was LaRon Woody pushing the blocker into the ball carrier to knock him down.
That was Maury that he hit. And just completely leveled him. He obliterated him right in front of Matthews and just smashed him into Matthews and knocked them both out. It was almost like a bowling ball. With a 7-10 split. that's the roar you heard from the crowd. I mean, he hit the lead blocker so hard, he went flying into the running back and knocked him out.
Used him as a weapon. Third down and 14. Slot both sides. Noble takes a snap, rolling to the left side. Will throw on the run and overthrows Barthel.
Pass
incomplete.
Number 84, Tyler Barthel,
and it's going to be fourth down, and he'll have to punt it away.
Yeah, Woody was over there and also getting a little help with McCoy. Kind of had him in front and back. They were on Barthel. They knew that the ball would be coming to him. And good coverage.
Look at the scoreboard here in a moment. Once we get this punt away, you know that Wyomissing's up on Bermudian 24-0 in AAA. We'll go over the other classes here in a moment. Here's the kick by Brown. Mills is going to run, touch it, now field it at the 20-yard line. Now he's in trouble. He'll try to get to the sideline. Gets a block. 30. Finds the sideline. 40. Now cuts back midfield. Runs into some of his own players and returns it all the way down to the 40-yard line of Littlestown.
And once again, Woody laying a smack block down on one of the Littlestown players who almost came away with grabbing Mills.
Down at the 40-yard line.
And Woody just came across and just leveled him.
All right, quickly, we'll look at the scoreboard. 6A, CD leads Manor Township 28-7 in the fourth. Also in the fourth, Cumberland Valley over Warwick 35-7. Halftime, Wilson's already up Mercy Rule in Central York 48-7. CD East leads Red Lion 13-7. 5A, fourth quarter, Mifflin over Waynesboro 34-0. In the third, it's Harrisburg 23, Exeter 10, Cedar Cliff 23, Manheim Central 10. Fourth quarter, Cocalico and Northeastern York tied at 17. We'll look at 4A here in a moment. First and 10 for Middletown. Littlestown, 40-yard line. Handoff. That is going to go to Lopez. 35, gets to the sideline. 30, and out of, nope, not out of bounds, but he is going to be tackled at the
number 23, Jose Lopez with the carry.
4-yard line for a gain of 16.
We're starting to see now that change of personnel, especially when after this long run here by Mills. I don't know if he was just cramping up and got up a little gimpy and now he's been stretching down along the sideline. But that's it. I'm surprised Snavely's still out there. We've talked about that in the past.
The 4A scores, Burks Kavik was up huge on East Pennsboro, but the Panthers are coming back a little bit, I guess you can say. 56-33 now in that one. LS leads York Suburban 34-0. Shippensburg leads Northern York 21-17. And McDevitt leads Milton Hershey 28-25. Handoff goes to Botterbush on first down and 10, trying to push the pile forward. And you get down to the 20-yard line, give him four.
Number 17, carry. Abel Botterbush with a carry.
Middletown switching out all their players. And
he's brought down at the 20-yard line where it'll be second down.
We've seen during these mercy rules many times keeping Snavely out there, just using him to hand the football off. A lot of folks would still say that, you know, you're taking a risk, but, you know, they're playing safe plays and getting everybody some action out there, letting him keep control of the offense. He knows how to work the clock management, make some calls at the line.
Split backfield, second down and 6, handoff. This is going to be Figueroa, who spins himself down. Kind of
number 11.
I don't know what kind of cut.
I don't know what he was trying to
make there,
but you know what? It is clear out here, and when you get clear and that temperature, you know, getting down, slowly sinking a little bit. See what the latest temperature is. 45 degrees. You get that little mist. Get that turf starting to get a little slick out there.
6:25 and counting here in the fourth quarter. Middletown leading 49-14. Wide to the right side, split backfield, third down and 6 from the 20-yard line. Snavely will let it go under 5. And he'll snap in the last couple seconds. Handoff goes to Gamble. Gamble drops it, and he'll have to fall on it to pick it up at
number
the 31-yard line.
Gamble with the carry, fumble on the play.
Yeah, not a good exchange here, but Gamble didn't have the arms grabbing it right. One thing that worries you about that is Gamble looked back to fall down on the football, and Snavely started running back over. Looked like he was going to try to get on. You don't want that. You don't want your quarterback driving in for a football when you're up on a mercy rule and it's late in the game. And he didn't.
Back to the 28-yard line. It'll be fourth down and 14 back here at the 28. Snavely will be under center. I would just expect him to just run it. Here's the snap. Here's the handoff. Figueroa will go up the middle and tries to break a couple tackles, and he's finally going to be whistled down right around the line of scrimmage, and Littlestown will take over on downs.
His auto play will be a turnover on downs.
Well, the game next week will be on Thursday night, not Friday night. Friday and Saturday, they've got soccer championships at Hershey, so the field was only available for Thursday night. They decided to move the AA championship to that evening. Some benefits to that, some disadvantages. You change a pattern of how you work out each week after a game and leading up to your game that you're going to play. But then, hey, you play Thursday night, and you can scout other games on Friday night.
Handoff goes to Matthews going up the middle, and he'll almost have enough for a first down, give him 9 yards on the carry. Again, the clock will continuously wind here as we are under the mercy rule.
Keep in mind the Raider banquet. They'll be holding their end-of-season banquet as they do normally at the end of the season, but hopefully it will be a continuation banquet. That'll be at St. Peter's Sunday the 20th. And I believe the deadline to register for that is tomorrow. So make sure you see Chris Smith. Give her a call or email Chris if you know who she is, especially you parents and so on, going to the game and want to be at that Middletown Raider banquet. I told her, I said, hopefully that's one of two banquets. The end-of-season banquet with no end-of-season, and hopefully get one later on to celebrate. So we'll see.
A lot of work to be done before that, though.
Sure is.
Because, you know, we know what we got with District 3. And I think Middletown's going to be a favorite next week. They're not going to be an absolute heavy favorite.
No, because that's going to be a tough one. A missing team who's played some decent competition.
And then the following week, should Middletown win the District 3 championship, you're going into total unknown. I mean, who knows what the other teams like Scranton Prep, Montoursville have. I mean, it's literally an unknown.
Number 25, Anthony Weaver with the carry.
Anthony Weaver on the carry for Littlestown. Only a gain of nothing.
And, of course, we're looking for more sponsors. Middletown sponsors help us. We get cost as well with doing playoff games, so give us a shout at WMSS 948-9136 during the week. You can email me at sales@WMSSFM.com.
This is going to be Gullickson running with it. And he's going to be tackled from behind. Gain of 7 yards on the scramble as Devin Gullickson now has taken over the quarterback duties.
A big kid, 6'2", junior.
Number 13, Devin Gullickson with the carry.
This Littlestown team will be back again next year. There's no doubt in my mind. They got some good guys coming back. Tough kids. They always seem to rebuild every year.
Yeah, well, and again, not exactly a difficult classification.
No, it isn't.
And knowing that, you know, this is a team that's in the York Adams Division III, you know, they certainly have, I'll say, pretty weak competition throughout the year. 7 yard run for Weaver this time. First down out across midfield.
But the clock, well, it should keep ticking. I guess it does stop for a first down.
It does stop for first down.
He stopped at the 47-yard line.
We were reading some of those rules last time. They've made some adjustments on the mercy rule that it does stop temporarily now for certain things, as they used to just let it run.
Now, I think the most interesting thing here at the end is we got to find Owen Hederer because he has the microphone.
He has the mic. He just did text me. He's going to... Okay. Going to get our post-game show ready. We'll talk to Brett Myers on the field, and maybe a player as well. But this will, of course, end the jinx that you have brought up in the past of unbeaten Middletown teams in the playoffs losing
Number
the first round. So
that
0-3 jinx has been snapped tonight. Middletown 11-0.
Right either side. Second down and 8 for Littlestown here with 2:08 and counting left to play. Pitch. This is going to go to another new guy running the football. That is Sam Watkins.
Number 22, Sam Watkins again with
the
carry.
Run it over for about 6 yards on the carry.
He stopped at the
Those teams back in the
third down.
Back in the 70s and 60s and 49, all that, was that 11-0 teams? Because the regular season used to be 11 games.
There is an 11-0 team, at least one.
Yes, I thought so. So they started cutting it back more and more because of playoffs, making it a 10-game season.
Trent Stonecipher with
Number 26, Trent Stonecipher with carry.
Carry. Gets about 7 yards and a first down. Littlestown.
He's brought down at the 34-yard line.
Minute 20 left to go. I can pull that up, John. I will find it. 48 was 11-0. 69 was 11-0.
All right.
71 was also 11-0.
So there you go.
75 was 10-0.
All right.
Handoff goes to Watkins.
Number 22,
get
Sam
2 yards.
Watkins,
and probably only one more play will need to be run here by Littlestown, and we will call this a ball game. As John will depart, heading down to the field. Need to get some post-game comments from Middletown's Brett Myers following this one. A home district playoff game victory for the Raiders here tonight. Pitch will go to Watkins. He'll get about 5 yards. That'll probably be it with 20 seconds left. They don't have to snap it again. We'll see if the Bolts are interested in running another play. No, I don't think so. The teams are going to line up at midfield, and that is going to do it. Middletown Blue Raiders are headed to the District 3 AAA Championship game to be played on Thursday night at Hershey Park Stadium. They close out their home season here, 6-0 at War Memorial Field, and it ends tonight with a playoff victory. Our final score tonight, Middletown 49, Littlestown 14. Stay tuned for the post-game show coming up after this here on the Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home Blue Raider Sports Network.
JD's Junction is a proud Middletown Blue Raider sponsor. JD's Junction, located on Mill Street across from the train station, Joe and his staff is serving up lunch and dinner daily, made fresh, like sandwiches, soups, steaks, and seafood. You can also dine outside on their patio. Monday night is trivia night. Wednesday night is all-you-can-eat wing night. Takeout is available at 616-8952. That's JD's Junction in Middletown.
Gingrich Memorials in Middletown is proud to support Blue Raider athletics and academics. The Gingrich family have been in business since 1921. They have their own art staff and in-house laser that can etch photographs or images onto granite. They also do statues, head markers, vases, benches, and monuments. Gingrich Memorials wish the Blue Raiders good luck during the season.
The Middletown Home, serving the community since 1875, is a continuing care retirement community. The Middletown Home provides intensive rehabilitation therapy for folks recovering from hospitalization, as well as personal care and independent living apartments. The Middletown Home, serving from the heart in the spirit of friendship, love, and truth. For more information, their number is 944-3351. The Middletown Home, where they serve from the heart.
Middletown's War Memorial Field. Our Brian, or rather, our John Wilsbach is down on the field, and we are trying to get some post-game comments here. Unfortunately, I don't believe our wireless microphone is quite working at this point. Maybe it's too cold. As John is down on the field, let's try one other thing here. As I'm going to have to call him off.
As the Tyler Whitfield, if you could please report to the press box. Tyler Whitfield, please report to the press box.
Well, we're going to try it again, see if he's trying to get the microphone to work, and it will not. So we'll just go over the post-game statistics here, as it's going to be Wes Story leading the way for Littlestown tonight, 14 carries, 61 yards. Andrew Matthews, 11 for 54. Corbin Brown, 1 for 4. Dylan Morey carried it one time for 2 yards. Barthel 1 for 2, Tyler Nova 1 for 0, Anthony Weaver 3 carries for 9 yards. Trent Stonecipher 1 for 7, Sam Watkins 3 for 13, Devin Gullickson carried it one time for 7 yards. Receiving, Tyler Barthel 5 catches for 38 yards, Andrew Matthews 1 for 10, Vince Stauffer 1 for 7, Wes Story 1 for no gain. Zach Lanning, 1 catch for minus 2 yards. Tanner Noble, quarterback, 9 for 17, 53 yards, and 1 interception. Team totals for Littlestown, 37 carries, 159 yards on the ground, 53 yards through the air, 212 yards of total offense here tonight for Littlestown. For Middletown, leading the way on the ground was Brady Fox, 13 carries, 158 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Jalen Thompson, 13 for 70 and 1 touchdown. Jose Lopez, 1 for 16. Chase Snavely, 3 for 5 and 2 scores. Abel Botterbush, 1 for 4. Antonio Gamble, 1 for a loss of 6. Trey Leach, 1 for 3. Edwin Figueroa, 2 for no gain. Tyre Mills caught 3 balls for 36 yards. Jalen Thompson, 1 for 15. Trey Leach, 4 for 97 and a touchdown. Chris Plummer, 1 for 8. Malik Noon caught 1 for 29. That went for a touchdown. Chase Snavely was 10 for 16 for 185 yards and 2 touchdowns. Rushing totals for Middletown, as I do not have them added, I'll try to do that on the way here. 35 carries for approximately 240 yards. 185 through the air, so it was over 400 yards of offense tonight, 435 for Middletown. The scoring recap for Middletown: first in the first quarter, Brady Fox, 62-yard run. Extra point made it 7-0. Then Littlestown went on a long drive. Andrew Matthews scored from 10 yards out. They went for two because Middletown had a penalty on it, and it was converted on a Story run. That made it 8-7 after one in favor of Littlestown. Middletown would get on back on top there with 6:26 left to play in the first half on a Chase Navely one-yard touchdown run. Extra point made it 14-8. Then Middletown got on the board again with 1:17 left to play in the first half. 21-8 it was with 1:17 to go. And then Littlestown got the football back, and I think they were just trying to get into the locker room at that point. Middletown had two timeouts left, and they used them, and they got the football back, and they were able to score on a Malik Noon 29-yard touchdown reception from Snavely. Made it 28-7 at the half after Brady's extra point. Third quarter, Middletown scores on a 21-yard touchdown pass from Snavely to Trey Leach. Then later in the quarter, Snavely a 2-yard touchdown run. Made it 42-14. Before that one, it was West Story running it one in from six. It was actually 35-14 at that time. Then Snavely scored, and then early in the fourth quarter, Thompson applied the mercy rule with a 4-yard touchdown run, and Brady's extra point gave us our final score of 49-14 in favor of the Middletown Blue Raiders. We'll take timeout when we come back. We may have a recorded interview from down on the field with John Wilsbach and Brett Myers, head coach of the Blue Raiders. Again, our final score here was Middletown 49, Littlestown 14. Back after this here on the Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home Blue Raiders Sports Network.
With kids in mind, Custom Apparel and Accessories does embroidery, heat press, screen printing, and vinyl. They're your home for your school and sports spirit wear. Whether it's a team, group, business, or personal need, no order is too small. With kids in mind, Custom Apparel and Accessories is located at 301 North Union Street in Middletown. Their number is 388-1948. With kids in mind, for the kid in all of us.
J&J Pizza and Family Restaurant of Middletown is a proud supporter of the Blue Raiders. J&J Pizza and Family Restaurant is open for lunch and dinner daily, a late night bite or carry out. Pizza, subs, strombolis, salads, burgers or fries, it's J&J Pizza and Family Restaurant, East Main Street in Middletown, 944-1313.
Solving problems, pushing boundaries, creating solutions. It's what we've been doing for 30 years and what continues to make us different every day. We are DHL Supply Chain, formerly XL. DHL Supply Chain designs and implements innovative contract logistics solutions for market-leading companies in a wide range of industries. We develop and sustain partnerships that deliver true value and thought leadership to make your business more competitive. We're DHL Supply Chain.
Tim Clouser of Remax Realty Select is a proud supporter of the Blue Raiders. Serving the Middletown area for over 30 years, Tim knows how to move Middletown properties. Thinking of buying or selling, Tim Clouser and Remax Realty Select, located at 250 East Park Drive near the Home Depot, can handle all of your real estate needs. That's Tim Clouser, Remax Realty Select at 526-4300 or online at timclouser.com.
Brownstone Cafe cooks up home-style meals in a relaxed atmosphere. The Brownstone Cafe has a variety of daily specials, and their menu is filled with a wide selection of pastas, steaks, seafood, soups, and desserts. The Brownstone Cafe is open for breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, and their staff wishes the Raiders good luck during the season. The Brownstone Cafe in downtown Middletown, open Monday through Saturday, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., Sundays, 8 to 8.
Jack's Auto Sales is a family-owned business since 1986. Jack's Auto Sales deals in used cars and trucks. They also have a five-bay repair garage offering engine work, brakes, exhaust,
front-end alignment and tires. Open Monday through Friday from 7:30 a.m. till 5:30 p.m., Saturdays 9 to 12, or by appointment. That's Jack's Auto Sales, 2189 West Harrisburg Pike on Route 230 in Middletown. Their number is 944-7363 or online at www.jacksautosales.net.
All right, welcome back. One final time here to War Memorial Field tonight, where Middletown beat Littlestown by a score of 49-14. And now let's go down on the field. John Wilsbach.
Hard on this one, a lot of penalties, but eventually you guys pulled this one away.
Well, yeah, give Littlestown credit. That's a great program there that, you know, played really hard. And, you know, I wouldn't expect anything less from a playoff team that, you know, has a program like that. So give them credit for that. You know, it's not really about what we did there. They did some really nice things, and our kids had to make some adjustments, and they did, and paid off in the end.
Yeah, Story especially, and their receiver 84, you know, at times they were getting the breaks, but as things settled down defensively, especially from Woody, I mean, you guys were really getting some hits out there.
We, as we said all year, we pride ourselves on defense, and we got a physical group of kids that love to play, and you saw that tonight with Laurent setting the edge the way he did, and you know, that's a nice thing to see.
I know you're never happy with penalties, and you don't want to focus on that because it was a big win for this team, but certainly things that you don't want to see out there.
Well, no, and we've said this in the past. It gives us something to work on. It gives us something to look at. In the end, aggressive penalties are aggressive, and we'd rather be aggressive than not aggressive. So it is what it is, and we'll just keep working and see if we can be better next week.
So many team accomplishments and individual accomplishments. I know you like it as a team, but Brady Fox, a big game for you as well as many other players tonight, but going over the 1,000-yard mark, and he certainly has made some accomplishments this season.
Without a doubt. I mean, 2 years in a row, 1,000 yards, and he'll be back next year. Yeah, that's pretty special. And, you know, we're lucky to have a kid like Brady, and I'm sure Brady will tell you he's lucky to have the line he has. So we're lucky to have some of these guys.
Before I let you go, Coach, kind of changing the way you're scheduling. Right now, the game's slated for next Thursday night. So does that change how you prepare for that game day in or the way it sets up?
Now we got 6 days to a game, and we'll prepare. We'll start on Sunday, and we'll practice Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday turn around, play a game over at the stadium against a really, really good program.
Congratulations.
Thank you, John.
All right, Brett Myers, Brady Fox, congratulations. Big run tonight there. 63 yards kind of puts you over, and man, I'll tell you, a little bit of a slow start for the team, but you guys got it going.
I knew, right, we were having a slow start, but I knew the group of people we are, we were going to bounce back. Like, as we went through the whole year, we had rough times, but we always bounced back, and we always knew how to go through adversity.
What were you guys thinking here? Because there weren't many times this year, maybe against that Lord Alford game, where you found yourself all of a sudden you're down 8-7. You've got to be looking around saying, what's going on? But did you know that it was only time before you got this one going?
I trusted my line. I knew they were going to get their job done. And once that started going and our defense started going, we were just going to start clicking like that. And I owed all to the line. They played their best, one of their best games. And
you're excited though now. You're in the district championship next week.
Yes, sir. Just got to come out like we did, like how we've been going all season, play our game.
And then another mercy rule tonight. You guys have gotten kind of accustomed to those.
We're just working hard. Hard work pays off, and as you can see, it pays.
All right. Well, congratulations on the 1,000-yard mark.
Thank you.
Good luck next week.
Thank you, sir.
All right, Brady Fox, back upstairs to you, Steve.
All right. Thank you very much. John down on the field with Brett Myers and Brady Fox following the ball game here tonight. Let's take a look at the out-of-town scoreboard. We have a lot of final scores in from the District 3 tournament. 6A, we have one matchup set. Central Dauphin and Cumberland Valley will meet next week. CD beat Manheim Township 35-14. Cumberland Valley beat Warwick 35-7. So that sets up a rematch of what was a 25-24 game in the regular season where CV scored late, went for two, got the win, and CD will have a chance for payback next week at Speed Eversole Stadium at Landis Field. Other side, well, the matchup is set. Wilson beat Central York tonight. Not sure what the final will be, but it's 55-16 in the fourth quarter. They will play Central Dauphin East, who knocked off the only other unbeaten team in District 3, Red Lion, 13-7. So now Middletown stands as the lone unbeaten in District 3, regardless of class. 5A quarterfinals. It's going to be Governor Mifflin taking on Harrisburg next week. Mifflin beat Waynesboro 34-14. Actually, that's a fourth quarter score, sorry, but close enough. Also in the fourth, Harrisburg leading Exeter 36-10. On the bottom half of the bracket, Manheim Central leading Cedar Cliff 24-23. The Barons came back in that one. Winner of that game will play Cocalico, who outlasted Northeastern York 25-24. So a pair of one-point games there on the bottom half in 5A. Quad A is Berks Catholic rolling East Pennsboro tonight. 63-33 was the final score there. They will play Lampeter Strasburg, who blanked York Suburban 48-0. Bottom half, Shippensburg gets revenge on Northern York. 28-17 was the final in that one. Northern hung the only loss of the year on Shippensburg during the regular season. But the Greyhounds get revenge, and they will next play the winner of the McDevitt-Milton-Hershey game, where fourth quarter, that one not over yet. McDevitt leads Milton-Hershey 35-28. And, of course, Middletown plays Wyomissing next week. They beat Bermudian Springs 24-7 was the final in that one. So, John, as expected, it's Middletown, it's Wyomissing, yeah. And district championship up for grabs Thursday night.
Well, I said this was going to be a mercy rule game. I didn't realize it was going to take them that long to get it in that tough. I give Littlestown a lot of credit. They came out, fought hard early on, kept this one close. And frustrated Middletown at different times, and a lot of penalties that Middletown committed frustrated themselves.
Yeah, Middletown had about, I wouldn't say 12, 13 penalties in the game. They were over 100 yards against them. But yeah. I think the biggest one was probably beneficial to Middletown.
That's true.
It was a false start penalty where the play was blown dead, where Stavely was just trying to loft it out to Fox, and it was an 8-7 game at that point, and it was going to be intercepted and returned to a touchdown, but the officials called the play dead because that's what the rule dictates, and it saved Middletown a touchdown, or it saved Littlestown from getting a touchdown. Middletown lost 5 yards, but I think the Raiders will take it in that situation, but after that, Littlestown basically had one good drive early, and then they had a scoring drive later in the game, but that was well past when the game was in doubt, and they just marched on to another mercy rule victory here tonight, 49-14 over Littlestown, a team that was 8-2 coming in. They leave 8-3, and Middletown goes to 11-0. And again, we look back, and this is the fourth time that Middletown has been 11-0. After 11 games in a season.
And sadly, I don't think a lot of the seniors realized it, but their last game at War Memorial Field. Usually senior night, we used to always see the players go out, sit down the field, take it in, but this one was theirs. But at least it's a sweet one. They win at home, and now the rest of their games, as they hopefully will continue in playoffs, will be on the road somewhere. But as we've indicated in past broadcasts, the AAA state games, if Middletown wins districts, state games for AAA are in District 3. So they would be closer to this area. But of course, as Coach knows, you take it one game at a time. They've got to get past a tough Wyomissing team. We'll be on the air this coming Thursday night, 6:30. We're going to start it off a little earlier, and we will have for you the pregame 6:30 kickoff at 7 o'clock, Hershey Park Stadium, Thursday night. So I hope to see you out there. Dress warmly. Folks are starting to get that acclimated to the cold tonight. Saw a lot of blankets out there and heavier coats, and you'll probably want to have that again next week unless we get some warm tropical wave come through, and I don't think that's likely to happen. So we're glad you're with us, and stay with us if you want to sponsor our broadcast, sales at WNSSFM.com or calls at 948-9136. We've got LVC football for you tomorrow afternoon, 12:45. We'll be on the air, LVC and Albright. So we want to wrap things up. Thank DeMar Parker and Darren Rank, our studio producers. Owen Hederer, our sideline guy, for Steve Leedy. This is John Wilsbach. Again, our final score, Middletown 49 and Littlestown 14, Middletown 11-0 on the season and headed to the District 3 championship. And you heard it here on the Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home Blue Raider Sports Network.
C&E Lawn Care and Landscaping can handle all of your lawn care needs. They do mowing, landscaping, full tree service, snow removal, and so much more. And they're now accepting new commercial and residential customers for next year. C&E Lawn Care and Landscaping. Anything under the sun can be done. That's C&E Lawn Care and Landscaping. 982-0701. That's 982-0701. PA 853-972.
You've been listening to Blue Raider Football on WMSS. Today's game was brought to you in part by the Hetrick Center, S&H Screen Printing and Awards, Black Horse Tavern, C&E Lawn Care and Landscaping, Jack's Auto Sales, Brownstone Cafe, Tim Clouser, Remax Realty Select, DHL, J&J Pizzeria, With Kids in Mind, The Middletown Home, Gingrich Memorials, JD's Junction, Homestead Plaza Barbershop, Middletown Pharmacy, Michelle's Creations With You in Mind, and Fager Finkenbeiner Funeral Home and Crematory. Your home for the best in high school sports is WMSS.